Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. final word. Your word is yes and amen. We are so excited. We are delighted. Oh, my God, we are in awe this morning that the Lord has allowed us to enter in this morning, enter into this new day, this day that we have never seen before, and this day that we surely will never, ever see again. We are grateful. It could have been the other way around. He could have called us home on last night, but he kept us through the night. He kept us through the night, and he brought us into this marvelous day, this day that we have never seen before. And surely we will never, ever see this day again. Father, we just ask this morning that you bless this man of God. I know you blessed him because you gave him a new day. But we ask you to bless his lips, bless his eyes and his ears of clay, that he might see and hear and speak your truths, O God. We pray, Father God, that you would touch the hearts and minds of the people that are coming on the line right now, and even those that are listening by satellite radio, by Android phones or iPads or tablets or however they're listening. God, bless them to hear and to understand that they will not just be hearers of the word, but they will be doers of the word, that they would activate whatever this man of God say today by the Spirit. We will activate in our daily lives. We pray, Father God, that you bless his family. Lord, bless all those that he brought, that he had told that he would be speaking today and come to support him. We ask, oh God, that you bless them to receive today, Lord God, the fruit of his lips this morning. Father, we ask that you bless the four corners of the earth, the north, the south, the east, and the west, and allow the angels, the hosts of heaven, to take this word wherever you want it to go. And Lord, we know it will not return void. It will accomplish what you sent it to do this day. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on in, Minister Jones, and allow the Lord Jesus
God bless
to use you by his Spirit.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
Come on in. God bless you. God bless everyone out there on the radio land. We thank God for this opportunity of Apostle Canada and all the leaders that's on here, pastors, leaders, bishops, and everyone that's in their places. We just thank God for the day. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to bring forth the word. I'm nothing without Christ. And I thank you. My subject for the day is be sober. Be sober. And I'm going to say a quick prayer real quick with you, and then we're going to go ahead on into the word. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, out in Rio land, Lord, to allow us to come together, Lord, to bring and share your word, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord, to use me as you will. God, help me to say the things that you desire me to say. Lord, get in me, Lord. I'm nothing without you. Can't make it without you. Don't know what to say, how to say. But, Lord, you give me what to say, Lord. Give me the right words to say, Lord. Help me to speak timely in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help those, God, that desire, God, to get close to you, to get close to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, only you can do it, Lord. Those that desire to be filled with your spirit, Lord, we ask you to fill them in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let your power rest upon the airwaves, Lord. Those that are looking for answers, Lord, they never get every answer that they need, Lord. Those that are looking for a closer walk with you, Lord, they'll get a walk with you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Only you can do it in the name of Jesus, Lord. Bring unity, bring clarity, Lord, in your word, Lord. Only you can do it, Lord. We just thank you for your power, your strength, Lord. Yes, you got to break down every stronghold of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, God, today, Lord, that your word will have a free course, completely, brother Jesus, over the enemy. Powers of the enemy, whatever he tried to do, God, to stop your word, God, let your word go forward in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your blood. Let your blood cover us in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I forever bless your name and give your name the glory and honor in Jesus' name. God bless everyone. I thank God for this opportunity to be able to bring forth a word. Not going to be before you long. So many scriptures talking about being sober. In the scripture, and I'll be coming from you, those that have your Bible that don't have an audio. I'm coming from 1 Peter 5 and 8, and it talks about being sober because we're just in an hour where you have to be sober. You have to watch. There's so many things are happening. If you're not sober, you won't watch. You'll forget. You're not sober. You're not able to understand what's going on. You're not focused. And so, you have to be sober. And so I'm coming you know, just talking about this, you know, God dealt with me about being sober, you know, because we're in an hour now, but people are not sober. They're not seeing the signs of the time. They're not looking at what's going on. There's so many things are happening around us. You know, you can see, you know, even in, you know, in the earth is speaking, and, you know, the animal kingdom is speaking. Everything that's happening in this, in, on this planet is speaking, saying the sun is coming and things are being ready to happen. And we're not, the church is not awake to even understand to see what's going on. And so I said, Lord, you know, what are we going to do in this hour, you know? And I just thought about being sober. When you're sober, a sober person always alert. When you're sober, you got the ability to be able to withstand whatever comes your way. When you're sober, to be sober is not to be drunken with the cares of this life, you know, with the problems of life. And, you know, it's so many things that call you not to be sober. It ain't got to be not just generally alcohol or drugs. It can just be things that you're dealing with in your everyday life that will cause you not to be sober. And, you know, and you just got to keep your eyes on God, you know, when you're going through. And you know, and then that way, when things come your way and you keep yourself sober through the Spirit of God, you'll be able to see what the enemy is doing. But I'm coming from you from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And it says, the word of God says, it is said, you know, and the word of God said, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking who he may devour. I'm going to read that again. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be sober. I'm going to say it again. Be sober. Be vigilant. You know, be vigilant. You know, when you are vigilant, you alert. A person that's vigilant, they're alert. They're always watching. They're always paying attention. They're always alert on what's going on. They're watching everything. They always told us, you know, when you've been a truck driver, you always have to be alert and paying attention. Keep your eyes moving. Because, you know, when you're in a semi-truck, you know, not to change the subject, when you're in a semi-truck and you're carrying 8,000 pounds worth of weight and stuff in there, you always got to keep your eyes moving because you never know when someone may drink it or jump in front of you. Then you got to always keep yourself sober because you got to remember you got that weight on the back, you're dealing with air brakes, you're dealing with 18-wheeler, you're dealing with people, and then you got to stay focused on the road. There might be an accident up the road. And so you want to stay sober and be vigilant to watch every time you get a chance. Because it'll take but one mistake, and then you can flip the whole truck, and you can cause a fatality to kill somebody. So, you know, and so the reason why I brought the truck is I'm a truck driver, and that's what I do in my everyday life to take care of my family. And that's why I use that as an example to show you that you have to be sober. And then you can look at your life, you know, dealing with your life, things that you deal with every day, you have to be sober. Because when you, the devil, things that, so many temptations are coming, I mean, back to back. And if you're not sober to know to keep your eyes on Christ, man, it's so easy to get off course. It's so easy to forget that Christ is with you. It's so easy to just fall off course. You're looking at time now where people now are not sober enough to understand that time is running out. They're running, you know, you got people leaving the church, leaving God, and forgetting that, hey, I mean, I don't have time. I got to stay sober. I got to stay focused. You know, like the Bible says, we got to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. You got to make sure that you stay sober to be able to understand what's going on around you. Being able to know, when you sober and you vigilant, you know you got to keep your house. You got to watch your house because you might have a thief watching your house. You might have somebody following you. You know, a person that's paying attention, they already on point. They know up hand. Say, I got to make sure I pay attention. I know I got it. They're in an area where it's known for people to being robbed. You already know when you get over, you're going to keep everything together. You're going to keep your head moving, keep your eyes moving. Man, I got to pay attention. I don't know who watching me, you know, and just being, you know, that's what vigilant means, to be focused, to make sure you always alert, always be alert, that the enemy is trying to find any kind of way to find a hole to get in your life. And you got to always, you got to can't allow the enemy to use whatever he can. Me and my wife went on a 7-day fast on electronics. We didn't watch any TV. We shut our phones off for social media. You know, we went on the fast of that. You know, I'm not saying you have to do that. And it helped us to and to see better, to be sober because the enemy, you know, to cut, shut those doors. There's a lot of things in our life, and those we have to shut. And when you try to get close to God, because the enemy can use that very thing to get you drunk with the care of watching TV, watching celebrities, watching every show, watching everything. And then you, and then before you know it, he'll been a crept in on you. And you'd be like, wait, what did this come from? You'd be like, man, wait a minute now. Well, how did this happen? And see, the enemy, is he's real crafty. And so you got to be careful. You got to be sober. You got to keep your eyes open. Even, you know, looking throughout the Bible, sober is in the Bible. It's written over there. God was letting the children of Israel let them know. It's over. If you look over in the Bible, let me take my time. It's written over in the event. To be sober is written in the Holy Bible, King James, 174 times. So evidently, God, this being sober was something important for us to understand that God really wants us to keep our heart and mind focused on him. It is so easy to get off track, man. I'm telling you, life will bring you throw your heart rock. I mean, a hard ball, man. I'm telling you, you don't know what life's going to bring you. That's why I thank God for being saved, that I can cast all my cares upon God because I know he cares. I know that, you know, through him, he can help me through this. Because, you know, it's not easy sometimes, you know, and you forget that God is with you. You forget that you, the enemy, he has a one lion. He just, you ever seen a National Geographic, how those lions, they sit back and watch the prey, and they just wait for a minute. That prey don't know. You got other animals that's paying attention. They looking. They paying attention. But you have that one animal they looking for that's not paying attention. And they gang up on us so fast that by the time they start running in the herd and trying to get away, that one animal that wasn't paying attention get caught by that lion. And before you know it, he be cornered by so many lions that he get devoured. And that's the same way with us. You have to be look and watch and be alert. That's even with some of the stuff when you look at National Geographic, when you have alligators and crocodiles in the water. Those animals know, you know, hey, I can't go. They go out there and try to drink water. They know I can't go too far out there. They always keeping their eyes moving because they know out there we got alligators out there, and if they make one mistake, it's over with. And so that's how we have to be in life. The enemy don't. He's not going to let up on us. But we got to know that God is with us. God is with us. I got another scripture I want to get or go over. To tie into a witness, because there's so many scriptures talking about being sober. There's so many scriptures talking about that. It didn't take all day. You know, I would have to take another time. So I said I'll just come from one scripture, and if I had time, I'd go over another scripture. I was looking at Ephesians. You can follow me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. And it has something. It's tying on to being sober and knowing what you're fighting against, you know. And so I'm going to read this, and I'm going to go Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, but put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so you look at that, and I said, man, you know, I said, Lord, I see why you ask us to be sober. I see why your word says watch as well as pray. You always got to be on the watch. You always got to be keep yourself focused. Not allow things in your life to get you off course. It's so easy to get off course. It could be dealing with things in your family or things on your job. It could be some of the smallest things. It don't have to be nothing major or big. And it'll cause you to just, it gets you wavered. You'll be drunk with the cares of this life. All the stuff that the Bible brings down. But I thank God for his word. He said we can cast our cares because he cares, and he takes all those burdens that we bother by, the things that we heard about, and he hold on to him, and he throw him, and he cast him away, and he help us, Lord. He give us joy, and he give us peace in him. I just thank God, man. He when you're going through, God can help you in the midst of your storm. But you can look at, you know, in the scripture, you look at chapter 6, and you look at verse 11, and you look at what we're wrestling with, you can tell that the enemy is working overtime to take our mind off the focus of God. I mean, he got technology, he got everything, and you have to be careful with your cell phone. It's just so, these cell phones will get you in trouble with God. I'm telling you, it's a privilege. And to have cell phone when you're going out, you got to, you know, you put your look at movies and stuff. But then you got to be careful with that, because it also is really a device to get you out the will of God. Because there's so many websites you go on the enemy. I'm telling you, if he can't get you through the TV, he'll get you through the cell phone. I remember a time you would have to go and buy videos at a video store when they had Blockbuster. And people that, you know, that were dealing with porno, you go and buy those videos. Now you just go on your cell phone and just download everything. And enemy, it's so easy for him to get us off course. And so you have to really be, ask God to keep you focused. You got to stay focused. You got to stay focused. The enemy's not going to let up. He's doing everything he can to take us off focus. You see what's going on now. So many people are getting off focus. Even leaders, if you look at what's going on in the church, you know, it's the apostle we're talking about, how you got leaders not sober enough. They're so greedy and about getting money getting money and making thinking about themselves and getting bigger houses and beautiful cars and dressing nice and wearing nice suits and nice gaiters and stuff or whatever they like as well, that they're forgetting about the people in the church, that the enemy is coming in the church, crepping in the church and taking out the minds of the people because the leaders are not sober enough to see that people are dying right in the body of Christ, right up under their care. They're not sober enough to see that you need to keep the altars open. They're not sober enough in villages. They're not watching. It's like they're not warning the people, hey, y'all get back in line. Y'all get back in line. It's like they just letting anything go. And people just going to scattle, doing anything. They don't even realize the enemy is going to creep in. And he's taking people out right in the church, right in the church, letting the enemy come in. And said the devil, they got these preachers, man, he ran there with like he in a picnic table and drinking Kool-Aid and eating chips and laughing at these preachers because they're not sober enough to see that he done crept in and he's taking the minds of our people away from God. And that's why you have to be sober. You got to be sober for your family because the enemy after your children. You got to be sober for your community to pray for the witches and the warlocks that are living in these different areas on the East Coast, West Coast, North and South, because the enemy have to use somebody to stop us from praying, stop us from going to church. You know, pray against us. And you have to be sober. You have to stay sober and always keep, you know, the Bible says watch as well as pray. I see why the word say that, because if you're not watching and you're not sober, man, it don't take an enemy. He'll find some kind of way to get in there. Look how he fooled Eve. She had done forgot about God's word, and she wasn't sober to understand enough that she already had enough. He said she eat anything in that garden. But what she did, she let the enemy come to her, and he had done crept into her mind. She wasn't sober enough. She wasn't paying attention and not saying and believing God's word, and she ended up falling, causing her and Adam to fall. And Adam ended up falling behind her because he didn't stay sober to remember that God had placed him in charge. And so that's why you have to be sober. Look at the people, when you look in the Old Testament, how they messed up on God. They weren't sober. And they thought because, I think Paul was talking about this yesterday, how they sit there and they thought because Adam was gone long enough, they done called Aaron to get in trouble with God and build that golden calf. And they weren't sober to understand that God watching them. He watches. He see everything that we doing. We can't hide from God. We can't hide from God. His eyes are every place beholding good and evil. So we got to always keep focused. We got to always keep. I mean, they don't say you have to be around, be where you, you don't have to be like a statue where you got to, you know, but you have to be a warrior in this time in the spirit. Because, you know, like the word of God said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood or evil principalities. The wiles of Satan, you know, and there's so many wiles that the enemy used, so many wiles, so much trickery that he used you know, and then you can look at the technology that they have created for him, and it's taking the mind of our people. We have to be sober because look at what's going on with our children. Parents, some parents aren't even sober enough to even teach their kids how to pray and teach them how the enemy is taking the mind of our children because the parents not sober enough to see that. They let the kids do anything they want to do, and they're not worrying about the kids' soul, not watching for their kids' soul, not being vigilant so these kids can be saved. And so our kids are being lost right in the church because they're not taking it serious. They're not watching. They're not seeing how the enemy is creeping in, even through this music that they listen to, this satanic music that's pulling them to the world. You taking them to church, they really don't want to be there. And so you have to be sober, not just for yourself, but for your kids. For your community, for yourself, because the enemy, he don't care. He will take you out. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Ghost that he gave us power to become son of God that we can fight. He has gave us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. There's nothing that God can't do that we can't do to get past what the enemy's doing. There's nothing that we can't do. Because the Bible in Philippians 4:18 says, I can do all things through Christ. So don't look down on yourself and don't think that you can't. You can make it if you just trust God. You can make it. It ain't nothing too hard for God. Care what the enemy try to do, you can make it. You can be sober. You can do it. You can do it. You can make it. I know you can. You know, and so I just, you know, you got to keep just trusting God, knowing that he's able to do a seed above all we ask and think, according to the power of working in us. I just, looking at that, you know, you being sober. And you look throughout the scripture, you know, when David, if he would have been sober enough, he would have never messed up or failed in adultery. You know, and then David thought he was getting by, but God dealt with David. And so, being sober, you have to make sure that you keep your eyes on Christ. You have to make sure. You look at Peter Jesus walking on that water. And as long as he was focused on Jesus, he didn't sink. But as soon as Peter took his focus off Jesus, he was sinking. But thank God for Jesus, he pulled him back in and it helped Peter to see that he needed more faith. And so, you know, you have to be focused on what God is doing. You have to just think about, you know, throughout the day, always keep your eyes opening. That's why it's good to fast and pray, you know. And then sometimes you don't have to fast for food. You can just, you know, like me and my wife did 7 days, like I said earlier, you know, we cut the TVs off. And sometimes when you cut the TVs off and cut your, you know, not get on your cell phone, you know, unless you listen to your word, it gives you a chance to hear things. You can hear the Spirit of God more. You're better to see more. You're better to see. And sometimes you can catch the enemy before he come in. You can catch him when he come in, but when you're not sober and you look in, you got all these things going on, you can't see when he come in because, you know, so many things in this life and with our jobs and all the things we do every day get us all focused. Well, we'll be sober with the care of this life. You know, we're not thinking about our soul. Like in the time we live in, our people are not sober enough to know that the Bible says appointed unto man to die, and after that judgment, they're not sober enough to know that I'm not going to be here long. We're not going to be here long. Heaven and earth going to pass away one day. And we get so caught up in the cares of this life. You know, it is not wrong that, you know, God never say that we can have nice things, you know. But, you know, just look at the time we're living in where the full focus is on getting a bigger house, getting a car, getting them better clothes, better shoes. And we're not even thinking about it on eternal things. We're not thinking about that one day I'm going to have to leave here. We're not thinking about those things. And so that's why it's good to be sober, so you'll know it. It'll keep you in a place where you'll stay in a place with God. It'll keep you at Romans. If you go with me, I'm going to go ahead to Romans. I'll think about Romans chapter 1, chapter 8, verse 1. It says, therefore, there's no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so you look at that, and when this flesh calls you to not mind spiritual things, it'll cause you to not be sober, and you end up losing the focus on what God's trying to take you. Is you lose your focus. And so you have to, you know, you have to stay focused and have to keep your eyes on Jesus. You have to. You have to. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus because he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the one that helps us every day to go in the way he asks, you know, the way he wants us to go. And, you know, and so I said, Lord, and I was looking at, I said, Lord, how do I, you know, help people to be sober, you know, and, you know, because, you know, being sober is not a hard thing to do. It takes the Holy Spirit to help you to be sober. It takes the Holy Spirit to help you to walk through and to be able to do the things that he called us to do. And then I just thinking about to being sober is even if you go to Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2, it says, let me get that for you real quick. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the will of good, what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. And you know, and so that, you know, you got to be sober because you got to look at, you know, in this, you know, your mind can get you off course so easy. It's so easy to get off course. It's so easy to turn back. It's so easy to allow things in life to keep you in a place where you forget that you have an enemy. The devil is after you, after your children, after your family. After everything about it, he don't care about your house or car. He wants your soul, and that's why you have to be sober. That's how you have to keep. You got to present. When you present yourself in God, God will hide you and keep you. He'll keep you in perfect peace. When the enemy try to bring you in, and you know the Bible says when the enemy come out of prayer, the spirit of the Lord in you will lift up a standard against the enemy and everything he's doing. No matter what you're going through in this life and things that you are facing, you got power through Christ to fight the enemy, to get past all the things that the doctors and fire doctors he tried to throw at you. Through his power, you have to put on all the armor. If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, therefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all the stands. Therefore, having your loins guard about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace above all things a shield of faith therewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Because I'm telling you, man, I said last couple, you see, I was telling my wife earlier, she had called me, and she was telling me, you know, how, you know, you having faith, you know, telling people to have faith. And I would tell her, I said, you have to be tested on faith, you know, testing to believe. You know, when you preach the word, you're being tested on everything you have to do for Christ. You're being tested. And when you just keep faith in Christ, keep faith from God that you can do anything. It's not too hard for God. It's nothing. And then, you know, just and you just look through our life. I just thank God for saving me. You know, it used to be a time where I wasn't sober, and God had to save me. I just say, you know, before I got saved, and God delivered me from alcohol and cocaine. I would sit and drink alcohol. I didn't know what sober was. I would buy bottles and bottles of liquor. And spend all my money up on cocaine and weed, and I didn't know what sober was until I received Christ. When I received Christ and received the Holy Spirit And that's when that's when he came in and he sobered me up. And then I had to look over my life and I didn't realize my life was such a mess. You know, and out there on that cocaine, on the street, doing anything and everything I wanted to do, not knowing that the enemy was trying after my soul and wanted to kill me. But thank God for his grace and mercy over my life that he saved me, cleaned me up, and brought me into a place and knowledge and wisdom of his power.
Yeah.
And so that's what I love about, you know, we have the, that's why when you look at it, he said he give us, you look at John chapter 3, so when they say he gave us power to become the Son of God. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost because it helped me be sober. It helped me give me a mind to be able to see and watch the enemy, because I'm tempted, the enemy, he'll find any kind of way to get us off course. So many people, just look at what's going on. So many people are going off course. Even in the church, you got people that's claiming they're children of God. They're getting off course. They're letting the enemy take them and got them thinking that Jesus ain't coming yet, and they're not sober. They're not sober to see what the enemy is doing. They're not sober to see that the enemy is trying to take them out. They're thinking that, oh, man, I just go out there and taste sin for a little bit. That's when you make a big mistake. Don't let the enemy think that you can go out there and taste sin for a little bit. Let me go back and just try a little bit of more cocaine. Let me go out and get high one more time. Let me go to the club one more time. That's all it takes. The enemy have you thinking, oh, man, you got time. God ain't going to do nothing to you yet. Like he told you, man, you ain't going to surely die. Man, God ain't told you. God lied to you. He told me. I said, look at this devil. And he's doing the same. He's using the same game tactic that he used on Eve, on man every day, all of us. If we don't be sober without the Holy Spirit. And so you got to be careful. You can go out there. You can't tell the devil, you a liar. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going back. Because I done had friends of mine before I got saved that died. And before God died, they tried to get out the streets. And and one of my friend of mine was named Chanel. She died going to the club. My mom had told us, said she was just trying to get back in church. And she was going to church trying to get her life right. And then she told her mom one night, said, I'm going to go to the club one more time. That's going to be it. And that's all it took. And she lost her life. She died. She flipped her car. She went out to the club, got drunk. And because she was trying to go to church, you know, and she was going to church doing good. And I guess she let the devil convince her that she could go out one more time. And she went out one more time. And that night she lost her soul. They had to, landed. She flipped the car flipped by 8 times. And she ended up landing in between the graveyard. And she died. She didn't make it back to church. The enemy made sure that he took her soul. And so what I'm trying to tell you, don't let the enemy fool you. Don't let him fool you. The Bible says, for the ways you sin is death. Don't let the enemy fool you. Give Satan all the toys back. Stay sober. Don't get nothing he got. Give it all back. Because everything he got at the end of it is death. The enemy trying to trick you, let it go. Don't let him fool you. Don't let them fool. Don't let the enemy think don't think that you're getting back. That's why you got to be vigilant. Vigilant means to be watchful. Watchful. Sometimes you have to cut your teeth off. Because, man, I'm telling you, these programs, man, are mess you up. I mean, these programs they put on, they made the program. That's why I say TV entertainment. Entertainment to make the program. Because you look at stuff now, these commercials, man, the commercial perverted. I mean, man, if you're trying to get rid of the spirit of lust and you want God to deliver you from lust, man, you can't even watch commercials no more. But now they got the women on there half naked just to sell a burger or to sell some soap. They got them. They used to do that. They just used to show when you watch the commercial, they used to show the bottle of soap. Now they got them taking a whole shower. Only thing they love, from the neck down, but they naked. I'm like, man, when they start in there. Now, even with the lingerie, I remember when I was little, they just showed the lingerie to women, you know, underclothes, you know, no disrespect to women. Now they got the women walking with the whole outfit, the whole lingerie on. And I'm like, man, this devil ain't no good. And then you look at now, even at regular TV, you got to be watching for that because they let stuff fly by in that cuss word. I remember they used to blurt stuff out. You know, you would watch a movie, that you like. And even with that, you got to be careful with that because the devil used that to creep in with certain movies that we watch. Can't watch everything. When you're a child of God, you got to be sober and vigilant because the enemy can use just that one movie. That's all it takes. That one scene will get you off, and they call you. Next thing you know, you got something fitting on you. You're like, man, what's going on? And then your atmosphere, your house done changed, and you didn't realize that one movie you just watched called that demon. You gave him a gateway to come in your house. You just let him on, right on in. It's just all it took. And so you got to be careful. Even in the Bible says, even communication corrupt good manner. You know, and it ain't just got to be somebody you talking to. It can be what we watch, what we hear, what we put in our spirit. That's why you have to be sober. You got to be sober because you can be watching the wrong thing or hearing the wrong, even down to music. You got to be careful with music now. And it's sad. Like, you know, I love gospel music. I can tell that, you know, gift comes out of pills because some of these gospel artists, you can tell that they have a gift without the Holy Ghost because their music, you know, it's good music. But you can tell that some of them are dealing with entities and spirits in their music. But it takes the Holy Spirit to you. You got to be careful who you listen to. Can't watch everything. You got to watch what your kids watch. You know. Now, I remember I told my son, he in high school, and he got a cell phone. I said, I remember they didn't have a cell phone. I said, we had to go to the phone booth. We didn't have the privilege y'all had. You had to keep quarters in your pocket. And everywhere you went, they had phone booths, even in the restaurant, at the airport. You always had to go in that phone booth. And I said, and then now y'all can go on there. You can go and look at movies and all type of stuff. And then you got to put that parenting thing on there for your kids. They can go on and look at porno. It's all in their games. I'm telling you, the devil is busy, man. He after, if he can't get us, he after the minds of our children. And that's one reason why we have to be sober. You got to be sober. You can't let your kids go and spend it out at everybody's house. You know, even with your family, you let them go on everybody's house because you don't know what's going on with your kids. You got to pay attention, man. I'm telling you, because the devil is busy. And if he can't get you, he'll take your child. He wants your child. And this rascal is so evil and so wicked. I hate the devil, man. He trying to go in the women's womb and take and mess up the child for the baby he's getting developed. You know this ain't no good. I hate the devil, man. And so I'm telling you, man, you got to really be sober. Be sober. Can't watch, you know, like I go back to what I was saying about watching everything. You can't watch everything. I know we like to watch movies, and I know I'm not by myself. I had to ask God to deliver me from movies. I like to watch action movies. I love action movies like Rambo and stuff. And I had to ask God, deliver me, Lord, deliver me from watching this, me blowing up stuff. And, you know, certain things that guard my spirit. Because the devil can use that to find a way to come in, you know, through all the killing and stuff. And then it calls an anger spirit in you. It's because some of the stuff that we watching, you know, and then, like, you know, these movies, you know, with Tyler Perry movies and Big Mama's House and Sinead and all these movies like that with men cross-dressing and all that. And we laughing at this stuff. And the enemy used anything to crop in and use these shows. And we think we just having a good time. We laughing. And we don't even realize we laughing at something that God disagrees with. And we don't want to get in the place where we grieve the Holy Spirit. That's why we got to be careful because we can allow the enemy to use his device to grieve the Holy Spirit that's in us or to grieve God. And, you know, you just have to be sober. You got to watch the devil. He ain't no joke. And he don't let up. While we resting and we think he resting, he always waiting for an opportunity to take us out. Especially when you called by God and God has been chosen you, you have to really be sober and be careful. Because the enemy want to set your mouth. He don't want you to say nothing about God. He don't want you to speak on the powers of God and how he can deliver and save people. He don't want you to say nothing to nobody that witnesses. Tell somebody that God is able to do a see above all the action thing. He ain't want you to tell nobody that God is a healer and he's a way maker. He don't want nobody to know that. So what he got to do is get you all focused and get you all wrapped up in this life and all the cares of this life where you can shut your mouth and you won't say that. And so you got to be careful. You got to realize that what we're wrestling against. The Bible says we're wrestling against flesh and blood. But evil prince God, these brothers are evil. I mean, they'll do anything to destroy the minds. I mean, the devil working overtime. And that's why we got to stay focused and work overtime to keep ourselves right with God. Work overtime to pray. Lord, what you want me to do today? Lord, what's your will for my life today? Lord, help me to stay focused. God, watch my eye. Watch my mind, Lord. Purify me. Like David said, purify me. Here's a watching that I may be watching. So, Lord, purify me, Lord, so I can be so focused, Lord. Help me stay focused. Because it's so easy, man. I'm telling you. I mean, I like stuff that are going on TV with this, the racism and stuff that's happening across the world. It'll cause you to get off focus with that. But then when we know the Bible says, follow peace with all men, holiness without no man shall see your father. You see how the enemy will use anything he can to get you focused on hating somebody because of what? And you know it is the spirit that we wrestling against. It ain't the man of his skin color. It's the devil. He's our enemy. I told a dude one, I said, man, I'm not your enemy. It's Satan. That's who your enemy is. That's who you need to be worried about. You know her? I can't do nothing to you. I ain't got no heaven to hell to put you in. But I'm telling you, if you got to worry about Satan, that's who the enemy of mankind is. If we can kick him and get him off the planet, I think we'd probably be all right. Him and his angels, get him off our planet. But I'm telling you, you have to be sober. You have to be sober. You have to be sober. Because whatever you eat, that's what you become. You know, it's the same thing. But spiritual, and then it's natural. It's like if you sit here and eat junk food all the time, you always eat junk food, cookies and candy and all that, and eating all kind of, drinking a lot of sodas and all that there, and you're not being sober, not thinking about your health, and down the road you start having all kind of health problems. But you forgot you was eating all that pork and all that grease and fried food and chips and candy and cookies, and that stuff caught up with you. And that's what happens. You have to be sober, and then the doctor has to end up telling you, say, man, you got to change your diet. You got to eat vegetables. You got to eat this, eat that. And you wouldn't be so. You just doing that thing, all that sugar. And how good it tastes. Because there ain't nothing like some good cookies and candy or some ice cream or, you know, some of that stuff you can't eat because it messes your health up, man. And so you got to be sober, you know, and watch yourself. And in that way, you'll be able to do the will of God. You have to be sober. You have to watch, you know, like the word of God said, watch as well as pray. And be sober. Watch for your brother. You want to be sober for your brother. Because when you living right and you're being sober, you can be, if you see your brother about to fall, you can help your brother. But if you're not sober, how are you going to be able to help your brother? If you're not sober, how are you going to be able to help your neighbor? If you're not sober, how are you going to be able to witness and tell somebody that Jesus saved? If you allow the enemy to get you entrapped with the cares of this life, get you entrapped in sin, get you wrapped up and tangled up in sin. But when you're sober, And you keep your heart and mind in the spirit, and you keep your heart and mind in God, he'll keep you sober enough to be able to watch the enemy. He'll be keep you sober enough, you'll be able to see things before it happens when you walk within the spirit. That's why you have to have the spirit of God. You need the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost. You can't do this without the Holy Ghost. You can't do this without the Holy Ghost. You can't, because the enemy is the prince of this world. They call him the prince of, he's the prince of this world. They say he's the God of this world, but God is control on his world. He owns the earth. The earth is his, the Lord and the fullness thereof. He owns the earth is his footstool. So he don't own nothing. God owns it, but he's the prince of this world, of this evil world that we live in. And in order to be able to get past this enemy that we're dealing with, you have to get in Christ. You have to get the Holy Spirit. You have to submit yourself to God. Like Romans 12:1 say, I was saying earlier, where they say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, as your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, because it's easy to get conformed to this world, to the cares of this world, the things that's going on in this world. It's so easy to get entrapped in lust. It's so easy to get entrapped in being a whole monk. It's just so easy to get entrapped in being an alcoholic or getting high. It's so easy to get entrapped in these things that it'll cause you to lose your soul. You'll lose your soul when you're not watching the enemy. It's so easy he'll come in. And, you know, I feel like if you got a house and you know you got criminals and people that rob and steal and break in your home, you're not going to sit there and not be alert. You're going to make sure you got all the alerts you can. If you got to buy a dog with some cameras, you're going to make sure that you're paying attention before you try to come in there and steal anything at your house. You're going to stay alert because you're gonna already know, oh, man, you got people out here breaking your home. You're not going to sit there and leave your window open if you know you got a thief out there. You leave your window if you know when you come back, it ain't going to be in the home. Your home, everything going to be at your house, everything valuable that you can pawn. So you got to be sober. Be sober. I just hope I'm saying something to help everybody, prepare to be sober. I just want you to be sober. Think about that. Being sober, being vigilant, watching. Keeping your eyes on God. keeping your eyes, keeping yourself focused on God. At the end of the day, as long as you keep your eyes on God, you don't have to worry about sinking. As long as you keep your eyes on God, you got to worry about what the enemy is doing. Even when they was on the ship, when they forgot that Jesus was on the bottom of the ship and he was asleep, and that storm came, and they thought they were going to perish. They thought they was going to die. And they forgot that he was there with them in the trial. They thought, man, he's going to die. And Jesus had to come and say, wait a minute now. After he told the storm and everything, the peace be still. He said, where your faith at? Sometimes we lose our faith. And when, the things that we have to face in this life, it causes you, your faith will be weary and you forget. And the care of this life and things you go through, and it'll cause you to even question God sometimes. But you got to remember, if you look over your life, out of all God has brought you through, the things that he has done, how he saved you, set you free, that he'll never leave you or forsake you. And you got to be sober to me is to keep your eyes on what's going on. Because, if you're driving, you're not going to drive with your eyes closed. Anybody, after a while, you're going to get in an accident. If you're sober enough to know if you break the speed limit, you're going to get a speed ticket. So you have to stay sober. You have to stay sober. Even job wants you to stay sober. When you're going to do a physical every year as a truck driver, you have to take a physical. And they want to make sure you're sober and fit to be able to see, hear, and think in a tight situation or an emergency. And when you go and do your physical, they check your blood, they check your hair, they check your bones to see if your bones are good, they check to see if you got prostate cancer. They want to make sure that you're physical fit for the job. They even check your eyes and make sure your eyes that you can see, that you can be able to be focused and be able to hear. They even check your ears to hear on both sides, left and right, to make sure you can hear. But they want you to be sober. So when you get out there, you got 80,000 pounds of weight and you carrying all that stuff on there, whatever you can, it might be metal, food, whatever you can, that you better get there safe and get back safe and not kill anyone or kill yourself. And the reason why I'm saying it is that even if you're not a truck driver, you have to be focused in the spirit, because we know our enemy is the devil. We know that he's not going to let up on us. We know he come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life. He came that we may have life more abundantly. So when the enemy try to come and kill, you hide yourself in Christ. Get in Christ, and he'll hide you from the hands of the enemy. He'll show you. Before the enemy come up on you, he'll let you see it. Well, you'll be able to make your move before he come up on you. And that's why you have to be sober, because the enemy, he's not going to let up. I mean, the devil is so evil, man. You see what happened? If you read in the Old Testament, when Moses died, he came and fought the angels over his body. I mean, this man, this devil, he don't let up. He was fighting the angels over Moses' body. Wow, I mean, it ain't your body. God used his man mightily, and the enemy thought because he had made a mistake by throwing down the golden calf because he was angry at the children of Israel, that he thought he had the rights over Moses. And the angels had to fight and had to rebuke him and tell him, hey, hold on now, the Lord rebuke you. This guy, you don't own his body. And so how you say the devil feel about us? Every day he's fighting and he's arguing with God about us, going to God about us. That's why we have to be sober, because we know he don't let up, and he a liar. The devil is a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. He's still a liar. And you got to know that we have power in Christ. We have power in him. We have power in Christ. That we can make it through. We can make it through. We can be sober through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we can be sober. Sometimes, I learned, through the fact that me and my wife did, cut the teeth off, you can hear things better. You can hear the birds and you can hear things. You can hear nature when you cut everything off. Sometimes you have to cut everything off so you can be focused. And then it's easy to hear the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we can have so much distraction, with our TVs on. I'm not saying that you don't have to watch TV, because I watch it too, but I'm learning how to not watch everything. God had delivered me from watching everything, and I'm learning that helps me to be able to fight the enemy even more, because you have to be careful. There's so many of these movies now, they're occult, they are and chatting over a lot of these movies now, and you got to be careful, be sober, because some of these movies now, you have to pray over this stuff, especially letting your kids watch this stuff, because this stuff now is enchanting and it's opening up portals from hell. You got spirits waiting on you to watch that movie so they can go home with you. So they can follow you to the house and get in your kids and influence your children while you in the next room praying. Then they're talking to your child. And so you got to be careful, man. Be careful what you watch. Pray over what you watch. Before you watching that, Lord, is it all right if I watch this? Is it okay? Look at the title. I think a prophet just talked about that one thing. You know, watching the title of something, even a book, even down to a book, you have to be sober. Can't read everything because some of these books are being enchanted over. You got people that saying they with God writing books, and then some of their stuff, they got their spirit in. There's a spirit come behind everything that you read. Same way when you eat. It's something come behind that. It's a seed that come behind it. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You have to be careful. Ask God, when you're doing something, Lord, what should I do? What should I watch? Is it okay if I watch this? Even down to TV shows and TV comedies that we watch on every day. You got to be careful. Because I'm telling you, the enemy, you, that one little thing, they try to creep in on your house. They creep in on you. And then you be like, man, what's going on in my house? You got spirits walking and stuff feeling on you. You don't let something in. It done followed you from wherever you was and follows you home. And so you got to really pray and keep stay focused and be sober and watch the devil. Watch. Keep your eyes open. And then not just watch for the enemy, but watch for the times. If you see things that are going on around this world, and we got to watch. Because how can you know what's going on? How can you be alert if you're not paying attention? How can you know what's happening in the world if you're not paying attention? You got to pay attention to all the signs that are going on. And that's why I say, I look at the church, I say, man, you know, do they see what's going on? Do they see the signs? Stuff that's happening all over the world, floods, and earth, and people losing their homes by tsunamis and floods. Their houses are earth opening up and people swatting whole homes. And people, I mean, this stuff happening all over the world. And I'm telling you, and then you got kids are missing all over the world. Human trafficking is going on. And it's just so much that we have to be sober and pray about. That's why we have to be sober and keep our eyes on God. Don't let the enemy take you off focus. Don't let the enemy take you off focus. Whatever he gave you, give it back to him. Because he's setting you up. Don't let the enemy set you up. Don't let the enemy set you up. Keep your eyes focused on God. If you have to pray and ask God, Lord, help me. Lord, help me, God, to keep focused. Lord, help me, God. God, deliver me from TV. Deliver me, God, from the things that are separate from me from you. The Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Sometimes it can be ourselves. It can be things that we do every day that separate us. So you have to stay focused so you won't be separated. You don't want to be, because you don't tell them where the enemy at. And so as soon as you can get separated, you can be like my friend I was talking about earlier, how she died. And it hurted me so bad, I cried about it. I said, Lord, she didn't have a chance. That devil did not let her get back to that church. And she didn't realize her leaving the church just at one time to have one good party, just to go out to the club, was going to be her last time. That was going to be it. And that's what the enemy don't tell you when he's trying to get you to live in sin and keep you in sin and keep you doing sneaky stuff. He's not telling you up the road, you might not have that much time. Tomorrow ain't promising you. He ain't telling you you might not make it out to the end of this year. And that one sin will cause you to lose your soul. You don't waste all your years trying to live for God. And one sin will cause you to lose your soul. He ain't going to tell you that part. He just give you the good part, show you the glamour of that feeling, the glamour of how you're going to feel at that moment. That's what sin will do. Sin will have you think, oh, man, it's going to feel good. You're going to like yourself. And, boy, it's just something about that feeling. That's how it was before God delivered me. That feeling of getting that cocaine in me. And it had me up 2 or 3 days. I'd be up all night on that cocaine. And knowing that it had my nose bleeding and stuff. And then getting high and drinking that liquor. That's that feeling to get that liquor in me, boy. I couldn't wait to get home, going to change clothes after work. I had to go by the liquor store on Friday to get that bottle of liquor just to get that taste in me. And I thank God for saving me from it. I'm telling you, that way he was trying to take me out. But I thank God for saving me. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his grace to sober me up to see what the enemy was trying to do. God had to sober me up through his spirit, through deliverance, salvation, through his spirit to sober me up, to let me see. God could have left me blind, could have left me out there, but I could have been blind like many others that we have to pray about that are blind and not sober, knowing that the enemy is taking the minds of our people. You see in many communities across the United States how people are walking around, the enemy has cut their minds, but they're not being sober, getting high off different drugs. These drugs are taking the minds of our people. They talking to themselves. They stuck in one spot, not taking a bath, not caring about their well-being. I hate the devil for that. That's why we have to be sober, because the devil want to kill us. He want to take us out. If he could have did it a long time ago, he would have did. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his power, his grace against the power of the enemy, that he can save us from the hands of the enemy. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I thank you, Lord. I thank God.
Amen.
Because
thank
it's his
you,
power
Jesus.
That saved us from whatever trickery that the enemy tried to set to destroy our mind, to take us out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Many of us would have been messed up. Think about it. When God delivered you from cocaine and crack or whatever it was, think about it. He could allow the enemy to take your mind when you wouldn't be able to even understand where you at. And
yeah.
I just thank God for how he saved me, how he delivered me. He could have let me call AIDS out of all the women I slept with and I was whoring around. But God saved me and he kept me
through all
the things I had to deal with. I thank God. I thank him for saving me. I thank him for bringing me where I'm at to this day, where I can love my wife and I know how to live right. And I realize, I understand what it takes to live holy and why it's important for me to live right, because others are waiting on me. It's people out there waiting on you to stay holy. And that's why you have to be sober and be vigilant, because you got people waiting on your testimony. You got people waiting on you to come and tell them that God is able. He can bring you out. He can sober
Say
you
that.
Up. He can deliver you.
Yeah.
He can set
Say
you
that.
Free. It ain't nothing
Amen.
Too hard for God. He can do it. And then God,
Amen.
That's why God needs us to get so sober up. Put on the breastplate of right. Put on the faith. Put on that power that he gave us. He said he gave us power to become the sons of God.
Come on.
So we need
Come
to take on
that
power so we can fight the enemy and what he's doing.
Yes.
Fight the enemy and all the dust and all the fouls he tried to throw at us. We got power over the enemy, power over the devil. Ain't nothing that he's got that we can't defeat as long as we got God in us. But when you get out of God, he can defeat you. He can take you out. And you might not make it back. But those that are out there and think that they can go back and sin, the enemy setting you up. You might not make it back.
Yes, Lord.
You might not make it back. So while you in God, get in God. Get full of his power. Get full of his spirit. Get full of his anointing. Because that'll help you fight the enemy. It'll help you stay sober. It'll help you be vigilant. The Holy Spirit will say, hey, look that way. Don't go that way. It'll tell you, the Holy Spirit, have you vigilant, have you so, hey, don't go to that store up there today. Don't go to Walmart. You'd be like, well, don't go to Walmart. Then you find out on the news somebody that got shot up there. Like, man, I just been to go to Walmart. And the Holy Spirit told me, that wouldn't think about it if you weren't sober. And you weren't sober, you wouldn't vigilant. And the enemy have you go somewhere, you lose your soul. Lose your life for four times. You got to lose your soul and you die four times because you didn't follow the Holy Spirit. You weren't sober enough to hear. Let me hear what God, what you want me to do today? What's where you want me to go? And that's why it's good to be sober so we can ask God, Lord, what you want me to go? What store I should go to today? God, you want me to go to the gas? And God, and the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go to the gas station. There might be somebody up there, human trafficking, waiting to rob you. And because you were sober enough, God kept you from getting robbed, and the devil is going to rob somebody else. You go down the street somewhere else because you were sober enough to hear the Holy Spirit. Now you don't be protected from being robbed. See, I got it. I'm telling you, I love being saved. I thank God for the Holy Spirit because it keeps you sober. It helps you. And I mean, it's been times where the Holy Spirit will hold me up. Me being sober, I'll be listening to my word on the truck, and then the Holy Spirit will hold me and say, hold up, I said, let me go to one truck stop, I go to another one. And then the Holy Spirit said, don't go to that truck stop, he's there today. And hold me up long enough, it happened to me one day. I was at a truck stop, I used to get something to eat there, and then go, I go and get on the road. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit said, oh, you got go and get one of your sandwiches you like. I go in there and get one of the sandwiches. I said, man, I done killed about 30 minutes, I should have been gone. And I have you know, before I get on the road, it was a major accident. Well, a fatality where a dude ran into a biker truck on a motorcycle and killed himself, and that could have been me in that accident. said, Lord, I thank you. Just for me, you telling me just go get one of my one of the sandwiches. I like to go to Panera Bread. I like some of these sandwiches, and I got a sandwich I like there. One of my favorite sandwiches. They put this the way they make it. I love it. And the Holy Spirit is told me go and get one of your sandwiches you like. And I didn't want to go because I didn't want to waste no more time. I was ready to get on and get up the road, but he kept me long enough. Just so I can be in an accident. And see, that's why he has to be so. That's why he has to wait. I just thank God. So we got a lot to be thankful for. We got a lot to be thankful. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Think about that, man. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be sober enough to know to get up and pray. You know? And so thank God for the Holy Spirit. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. Those that are out there, please ask God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. God, fill me with your Spirit so I know what to do. Because you really going to need it in this hour. This hour, you really have to be sober. We don't have time to play games. The enemy is not letting up. He's taking people out of here. And so you have to stay sober because you don't know when they're going to be a worldwide alert. Well, we're going to have to drop everything we're doing. We're going to have to take off. So you have to be sober. If you're not sober, how are you going to know what's going on? If you're not sober, you're not vigilant, how do you know the sow up water and what to do if you're not paying attention, if you're not watching? And paying attention to what's going on. That's why you have to be sober. You have to be sober, thanks to God. And those that are not saved, get yourself right with God. Don't let the devil fool you. You don't have that much time. You don't have that much time. The Bible says, the mile is not promised to us. He said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart towards God when he calls before you. Because you don't know what's up the road. You don't know what the enemy is setting you up for. Ain't nothing there. No, ain't no good sex. No getting high. No better. Worth your soul. Ain't nothing worth that. Nothing worth your soul. Please be right with God. Stay sober. Stay sober. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Know that we have an adversary. It's the enemy. He's not gonna let up. He's not gonna give up. He wanna take us out. And it's nothing to be afraid about because the Bible says God hasn't gave us the spirit of fear. But power, love, and a sound mind. To be a sound mind, you see what that say? And a sound mind. To have a sound mind, that means you got to be sober. But you need the Holy Spirit to have that power. But when you got a sound mind, a person that's sound mind, they always looking. They always paying attention. They always got their eyes moving. They always looking and making sure they paying attention to everything. That bring back to being a truck driver. They always talk that they got to call a system that they teach you as a truck driver. It's called a Smith system. And they always tell you to be sober, keep your eyes moving, watch ahead, look ahead, stay focused ahead, always think ahead. So when I'm driving in my truck, I look 100 miles down the road, 20 miles, maybe 50 miles down the road. I can see everything in front of me, and that's how I know how to make my moves. I know how to move through traffic. Because I'm watching everything in front of me. I'm watching my mirror. I'm watching everything in front of me. And I can see everything in front of me. And I can see what's going to happen before it happens. And people don't know. Truck drivers know that. They can see what you're going to do before you do it because they're paying attention. They done saw you way down the road and watch every move you make. And that's how you got to be with the enemy. You got to watch every move. Keep your eyes moving. Don't get your focus off because all he needs is a little room to get in there and mess you up. Stay focused. Keep your mind focused on God. Keep your mind on God. And when you keep, he said, if you keep your mind on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. If you keep your mind stayed on him, he'll put you in peace. He'll put you in a place. He'll hide you from the enemy. He'll keep you from the darkness of the enemy. He'll keep you. And he'll hide you in blood. He'll cover you, you know. And so that's all you got to do is stay focused. I hope I said something today to help everyone. I'm kind of nervous and I haven't brought a word in a while. And y'all just pray for me that God continue making me the minister and man of God. He called me. I don't want to be no more than what God made me. I can't be like nobody else but what God made me. I thank God for Apostle Canada, Providence Church, and every man and woman of God is on here. I don't remember everybody's name. But I love y'all. Thank y'all for y'all support. But remember, be sober and be vigilant. God bless you. Back to Apostle Canada.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Minister Jones. I'm going to just pray for you, and then Bishop James Washington will come in and do a prayer of salvation. I want to tell you, sir, that you delivered the message today. And that's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And a lot of people jump off, but that particular one there, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and 8, when I got that many, many, many years ago, and I was in Virginia, when I got that scripture, and it just blessed me. The part that blessed me is that he's like a rolling lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. And when God gave me the revelation of that particular, the B section of that verse, my heart leaped like a deer, because it told me that he can't devour everybody. Can't devour everybody. Hallelujah. When you covered in the blood, can't devour you. But Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given this servant. Lord, that you allow him to elaborate as you give him visual, spiritual vision to see what you wanted him to see, and allow him to hear what you want him to hear, to speak to us what we needed. We ask, Father God, that you would bless him now, bless his family, bless his house, oh God. We ask you to open doors for him that no one can close, and close doors, oh God, that no one can open. Father, we ask that you continue to protect him on the highway as he goes to and fro, Lord. Keep his eyes vigilant, oh God, that he see and hear, oh God, everything that he needs to see, and hear what he needs to hear, Lord, that the enemy would not be able to distract him, Lord. We ask that he would make it back home safe each time that he leave his wife and children. He'll make it back home safe, Father. We just thank you. Bless the ears of all those that heard this word today, and those that would hear it at a later day, that it might wake up the part in them that are closed down, that are shut off, the truth. Oh, God, that they would say, yes, I need to be aware of my surroundings. I need to be aware of what's happening in the world. I need to stop doing this. I need to stop doing that, because it's blocking my mind. It's clogging up my mind, Lord. We just pray this day, for the word has gone forth like a sickle today. It's gone forth like a two-edged sword, cutting. Oh, God, cutting, going, and cutting as we return out. In Jesus' holy name. Come on in, Bishop James, and do a prayer of salvation. We open the line. I'm not going to preach after the man of God, because he already preached. And I received the word, and I'm activating what I heard for me. Hallelujah. Come on in, Bishop.
Praise the Lord. To God be all honor, glory.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle, for the introduction. And thank you, Minister Jones, for the great lesson. You know, hallelujah. I have to invite everyone, as I am instructed to do, oh Lord, I have to invite everyone to accept you as their Lord and Savior. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is the way, the only way. There's no other name mentioned in the Word. No other name. Chapter 12, verse 4. It says, nor is there any other name mentioned among men under heaven.
You said it right the first time. You said it right the first time. Acts chapter 4. Verse 12.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. It's telling you, there's no other way. I don't care what anyone says. Jesus is the only way. No other way, no matter what all these big celebrities and people who have such a certain influences that they have over people because they have a lot of money and they're celebrities and whatnot. Jesus is the only way. Don't be fooled by one of the enemy's tricks. And that's one of them, trying to make you think that there's another way besides Jesus Christ. Now, if you've never accepted him as a Lord and Savior, then you must do this. You must do this. It's for you and your eternal salvation. It's not for, well, I'll do it next week or like Minister Jones said, the lady said, well, let me go one more time to the club. No one is promised tomorrow. No one is promised the rest of this day. No. We have a scale, 3 score and 10, but that don't mean that you're going to be here for 70 and 10. God makes that decision when he says, Bishop James, it's your time. There's nobody else can tell me that except the Lord God Almighty. So I have to stay in his graces. Forgive me for any sins I have committed and fall short of his glory as we all do. Every day we fall short of the glory. That's why God sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save the world, not to condemn it, but to save it. And through him and him only are we to be saved. And I urge everyone to receive Jesus today as their Lord and Savior. And if you have backslidden, brothers and sisters, turn around, run back to the Father. He's standing there like the prodigal son's father. He's standing there with his arms open wide, and he can see us from afar off. Accept him. Rededicate your life back to God. There's no other way except Jesus Christ. For the word says, repent. 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 Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, once you have rededicated your life to Christ Jesus, stay in that state of mind and be very, very cautious and very careful. I'm so glad for what Minister Jones says today, that the enemy comes in like a flood. You know, people repeat that. Oh, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will build up a standard against him. But while he comes in like a flood, and God has sent you this rowboat, you know, to gather your way out of this, you got to watch him because he's trying something else at the same time. Be fooled by things that you see and hear. Please, I urge you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Now, there's things that come on TV. I like cars. I like to watch the beautiful cars restored. Old cars restored to like a brand new, just come out of showroom floor, and it might be a 1947 model vehicle. And I love to see how people have restored these cars and how beautiful they can be once again. And just the other night, I was watching the car show, and Apostle Linda, she's not big on cars, not race cars and stuff, but she loves to see when people restore these old cars. And she enjoyed that. You know, she's not a car person, but she enjoyed that. And
me too, Dick and Bishop. I love them too.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know, she sat there, her and I, and we watched these cars being restored from rust buckets to shining, brand-new looking vehicles. But anyway, commercial came on, and there's two guys sitting at a table. And they're like sipping coffee or tea or something. And the next thing, these two guys are kissing, you know. And then they say on the commercial about some medication. You see, if the enemy don't get you one way, he'll get you another way. He's promoting homosexuality. You know? He's promoting this. Two guys kissing, you know. Be for real. Man is not supposed to lie with another man. Woman is not supposed to lie with another woman. It's in the book. I didn't write it. It's in Romans, chapter 1. I didn't write the book. This book was written many, many, many years before I was even in existence. Oh, glory. I was still in heaven with God. Okay? Now, promoting this, homosexuality. And then it's saying, they're putting this right in front of your face, two guys kissing. And then it's saying, and if you take this particular medication, your HIV will not be able to be detected. So they're pushing it another way. You see? They make medication to cover it because the enemy does everything he can to get you to do what he wants you to do. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Don't take a chance and wait until, oh, well, the day is Wednesday. When I go to church Sunday and they open the doors of the church, I'm going to be there. Who promised you that you were going to be alive Sunday? Do it now. I'm urging you to do it now. Repent, every one of you. Every one of you. Peter said, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, he said, repent. The first thing come out of his mouth, repent, every one of you, and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. There's no other way. And repentance is not returning to your previous life. If you receive Jesus today, as I'm urging you to please do, and you've backslidden, and I'm urging you to come back home, but you should be by the at the door right now, knocking, Lord, let me in. I need my eternal salvation, Father. I need it, because I'm not promised the rest of this day or the next minute, as far as that's concerned. I want to rededicate my life to you, Lord, if I have backslidden. And for those who have never accepted Jesus, accept him now. And your slate is clean. You're a brand new creature in Christ. Now you're an ambassador. Invite people to Christ. You learn to do it, because you may urge somebody to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they cross over today. You will be rewarded for drawing that soul to God just by your actions. Invite people to your baptism, whenever that might be, and invite people that you know, strangers, co-workers, enemies, invite them. By doing so, they may accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and you will be richly rewarded by the Lord God Almighty. Please do it. Do it, I urge you. And as Peter said, repent, every one of you, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. The book of Acts, it says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, no other name for the remission of sins. No other name except Jesus Christ. And, oh, my God, you'll be full of joy. Just remember to be like Nehemiah. Stand on that wall. Be vigilant, like the Minister Jones was saying today. Be careful. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. Hallelujah. And speak the word of God to others. You know, once you do this, you're an ambassador. You know, you're drawing souls to Christ Jesus. Do it for yourself. Do it for your families. Hallelujah. Especially for young children. Don't leave these children play these games and have the door closed and you don't know what the heck they're doing on the computer. You don't know who they're talking to. They're on cell phones talking to others. Keep watch over your children, your family. That's your responsibility. And God will richly reward you. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the family of God. And may all of you be blessed this day and for every day and the rest of your life. And remember, pray for those who are less fortunate than us. We have meals every day. I can truly say if I didn't have a meal, it's because I didn't want to eat. I was not hungry. I'm not going to eat just because it's there. I'm going to eat because I needed to sustain my body. I just got over the COVID. You know, hey, praise the Lord. It was his power brought me through. I could have been gone. I could have crossed over. But God worked for me to do. And I'm going to continue working for him. I'm running for the kingdom. Lord, I'm building your kingdom in the name of Jesus. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you, Minister, for the lesson. It was very fulfilling and very, very true. All the way true. I know I was an alcoholic. No. Like that. I was a drunk. I had to drink every day. And now I don't even look at a beer sign if I'm passing it. I just don't. Alcohol does not excite me anymore. You know, I had an opportunity to drink just a few days ago, yesterday, the day before, and I didn't. I didn't. Because I don't want to get back into that kind of life. Not worth it. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Apostle. And have a blessed day, each and everyone on the line. Apostle, it's back to you, sir. Apostle, the line is...
Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, Bishop James. We thank God for you and for your lovely wife and your family. Thank God for bringing you through and bringing all the family true. Hallelujah, glory to God, he's so faithful. I'm just here, you know, Bishop, and when I'm not ministering, I'm listening all the time, but I move around doing some things. I had to get me some, I was getting some okra tea, and boiling some pineapple, you know, boiling some pineapple on the, some pineapple bark on the stove so as to get the water with some different herbs that I'm putting in it. That really helps you to control the sugar in your body and the glucose, and help you to lose weight. So I'm doing that on the stove. But we thank you for the prayer of salvation. It's just so powerful to hear when we get a good word, and then you get the prayer of salvation come behind, because that's what brings everything together. You know, we don't want people to just come and leave and go home and eat fried chicken and go down to Popeyes in Kentucky and go over to McDonald's and KFC. You know what I'm saying? We want them to have something that will bring their lives together. You know, make them know that they got to make some changes. Because change people, so we want people to change. We want to open the line. We want you all to come on in. Encourage this young preacher. Come on and encourage this young preacher. Hallelujah. You don't have to preach the whole sermon, but encourage this young preacher. Let him know that we receive, hallelujah, glory to God, the word of God. It's not him, it's the word of God. We receive it. Let him know that we receive the word of God. So the line is open. It is open for anyone that want to come on in and encourage him. Come on in.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Apostle. God bless you, Bishop. Amen. It's always a pleasure to hear this given invitation to salvation. Amen. Thank God for the victory over that household, that entire household. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've been praying, and often my son called their line out after we get together, and he just, let's pray for so-and-so. And so we've been joining all the others to keep that family. And then we have a friend that's in the hospital with COVID that has pneumonia real bad. And so we're still working those prayer lines, and we thank God for him. And we certainly honor God today. Amen. Blessings on you, my son. Amen. It was a powerful, powerful teaching. Praise God that you did today. I tell you, I was blessed, and every time I hear a word, I did something fresh all the time. I tell you, it's just a delight for a word to come, and the treasures that's hid behind it, the ornaments of the spirit within that coded word verbatim, line upon line, precept upon precept. Praise God. Even in the jots and the tittles, there's a treasure in that word. Amen. Encouraging sinners to come on in. Praise God. And giving your testimony. And I remember those days, boy, of going from lamentation unto wailing for God to bring you back home to him. Praise God, because I raised my children in holiness from the womb out, raised them up, and they strayed, but God is faithful to his promise, amen, and restoring them. And I thank God for he's one that's preaching the gospel and bold toward the things of God. I mean, he's like Peter. He always standing with a sword or standing in defense of the gospel and in dealing with the spirit realm as well. And I tell you, that word of sober, being sober, is so powerful. And it's not only to sinners, but the whole world was in some form of the opposite side of sobriety and drunkenness. Throughout the whole world, praise God, coming from a place of being fooled, of being unwise and not aware, of not being as smart as they should be in these times, and being as alert as they should be. Praise God. Amen. And when we study that word sober, we need to study the opposite of it, the drunkenness, how Satan, the devil and his angel, like he said, is after all of us to, you know, to cause us to be the opposite of that. God wants you to be awake. Time to wake up, to be aware, to be conscious of what's going on. And that's why he keeps sending this type of word on these radio broadcasts to these men and women of God to give you a chance. And I declare, if you miss it, like the song say, you know, if I die, my soul be lost. It's nobody's fault but mine, because it's been a word coming through here. I mean, intense teaching, line upon line, through the woman of God, Pastor Washington, and Apostle Callender, and then Apostle Stewart and Deacon, and all the other evangelists that passed through here. This is a plead from God. And this radio show is nothing but a enlarged altar. This is an enlarged altar to plead from God, saying, come on, come on, come, come, come. And if I was you today, I would take heed to the voice of God called in you. You know, you want to be prepared because of the word of God says that we ought to take heed. Lest at any time all of our hearts be overcharged with over-surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Amen. So that the day that's coming, all the signs are here warning that the time is at hand, the end of life. Our life as we know it is changing, and God is trying to give you security. He's trying to give you security and bring you to that sober place, bring you back to your right state of mind. And even at the ones he described that's on the street, they're still, they have went to the point of what we call some of no return from being on excessive cocaine and heroin and sherm. They're smoking embalming fluid. They're inhaling gasoline. They're consuming bath salts. And some of these people are losing their mind. But how many know, even out of all of that drunkenness, God can restore the mind. Amen.
Amen.
Even if they say, well, all the brain cells are gone from, you know, too much crack soaked in Raid Roach spray, crack soaked in Hot Shot Roach spray, and then it burns up the mind. And they be walking down the street like they don't know who they are, what they got, where they going. Don't change clothes. Walking down the street with towels around the neck. I've seen so many cases, and they walking down the street barefoot in 100-degree weather. The road is hot, and the crust on their feet is so thick. And people can go all the way to that point that is like ain't no hope for them. Their mind is gone, but God has the power to restore the mind and give it soberness, give them his spirit, as Minister Jones said earlier, that you will be able to think soberly and righteously. You'll become responsible. You'll become smart. You'll have that wisdom above the serpent next time. Amen. That way you'll overcome him. But you got to stay sober. Like he said, stay serious about your salvation. Sober also means serious. Stay serious and know that always with all of us, no matter the seniority in the spirit, the advancement that we have over you, years of being saved, we still have to watch it. We still got to be careful to keep that same sobriety, because like Bishop said, yesterday, that same spirit that used to have us, he's sitting in a dry place trying to figure out a way to get us back. That invitation is still there. That temptation is still there. But we've been given power over it to say no to it, to go on. And we have counted up the cost and know that what I have now is more valuable than anything I've ever obtained in this life. And that's my salvation, because that's the only thing I can leave out of here with. All the other things that I've gathered and accumulated over the years of my life,
amen,
I can't take that with me. I can't take it with me. I can't take it with me, but praise God, I can take the Holy Ghost with me. I can leave out of here with the Spirit of God and soberness. But stay alert and be careful, as he said, you know, looking ahead when he's traveling ahead. Amen. You got to pay attention to the things around you in order to sometimes determine what's really happening and what's coming. It tells you, you know, what's ahead tells you the things that's presently surrounding you. And so God is crying out, giving you wisdom every day from these broadcasts. Amen. To pay attention, to wake up. Come on and get right. Come on and be saved. Come on and let him make you whole. He can restore your mind. I don't care what the doctors say. And then sometimes don't be a thing wrong with people's mind. And they go run into some of these, getting these potions and antidepressants.
Amen.
And people saying, oh, you depressed. You losing your mind. And you constantly hear that. And all the devil want to do is steal your mind. But if you just stay with this word, amen, I declare that God, amen, can set your mind in a right place, and your meditation will be on this word day and night if you stick with this teleclass. But we thank God for your son today. You be encouraged and let God continue to use you. You've always been a power evangelist. I remember we used to go into projects all the time of night. Sometimes we would get out there at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night when they're just getting deep in drunkenness and all in witness. And tell people about Jesus, amen, and you still got that same drive many years to today, amen. I thank God for you. So you be blessed, be encouraged, and may heaven smile upon you is our prayer and everybody on this radio broadcast.
Thank you, Prophetess. The line is open. The line is for anyone that wants to respond and encourage. Minister Jones, come on in.
Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are praising our God today. We praise him when we come together to break bread, as we have done today. So we are thankful that we are all here. And I pray that this word has not fallen on deaf ears. This is a powerful word. Thank God for Jesus Christ, our Savior. I thank God for Apostle Calendar, for allowing us all the opportunity to come and to break bread and to share what the Lord has given. Amen. Thank God for your family, Apostle Calendar. Thank God for all that your family do for the kingdom. Glory be to God. Thank God for our minister today. I call him our Minister Jones. Glory be to God. It's been faithful to come to the line and faithful to come and to break bread and to minister. Amen. We appreciate this word today. We thank God for Prophetess Cheryl. We thank God for her and all that she does to help us, hallelujah, along with all of the other things that that the Lord has for us to do. But the main thing is to come and to share our testimony, share the word of God, share what God has put in us. Amen. We thank God for the Pastor Stewart and Ethan Frazier, Evangelist Leela. We thank God for all of the saints that come. Amen. Mother Grant comes with her word. Apparently she's not on the line today, but she comes to read a word for us every day. And it's always on time. It always just coincides with what has been preached because the Holy Spirit is moving on this line. Glory be to God. This line is on fire for the Lord. Amen. And we are hearing from God on this line. Glory be to God. So Minister Jones, I thank you so much. I especially thank you for your testimony and how you so graciously give it. Glory be to God, because that's so important. Our testimonies will help others to come to the Lord. and also to help others know that we've all been, you know, we've all been there. Amen. We all have been.
Yes, Lord.
We have all been these ministers on the line, all of us and our friends on this line. We've all been there where we needed deliverance. We needed to be saved. We all.
Amen. You're right.
Amen. There's nobody exempt from that. Glory be to God. We need that. And when you give that testimony, somebody, it's relatable. Somebody will relate to our testimonies. And that's why God allow us to go through, so we will have a testimony. Amen. And that the Almighty God will come in and restore us and keep us sober. Amen. And once you're restored, and you talked about transformation of the mind, that's how it gets restored, get our right mind. So I thank God, hallelujah, for what he has done in your life. Glory be to God. I thank God for what he's done in all of our lives, because we all need to be restored. Amen. Just like Bishop was talking about those old cars, I thoroughly enjoyed watching how that car was restored from its rusty old state, from its wreckage. And that's just what you were talking about, Minister Jones, how our lives were saved and restored and brought back from that wreckage into that beauty, the beauty of the salvation of the Lord. Amen. The beauty of that restoration and how God brought us from the wreckage in our lives. Hallelujah. Into this beautiful, this beautiful life that only God can give us, a saved life, a life of salvation. But what
Amen.
You made very clear is that we have to, we really do have to be careful and be watchful. Be watchful, because none of us are exempt from making mistakes. Amen. Glory be to God. We are still in this flesh, and that's how the enemy comes. He comes to attack, but he can only use our flesh. Amen. And so we got to be careful and watchful, just like you said. We all do. And I know what you were saying about the TV is exactly right, with the television and the distractions. That's one of the enemy's main weapons, is distraction. That's one of his main weapons. And he want to come in, and he's so slick. He's so slick. While you're watching a decent program, here comes, like Bishop was, here comes a commercial with something filthy in it, you know. And you talked about how people are half naked on TV. They're half naked in the videos, and some of them are literally naked. And so we have to be careful. If we got to turn that TV off, God deliver us. If we're hooked on the TV, hooked on the phone, hooked on whatever, God deliver us from those things that we're not to be doing. And you also talked about grieving the Holy Spirit. Because, see, if we grieve the Holy Spirit, then we're going to have some grief. Amen? So we got to make sure that we ask God, help me. Help me never, God, to grieve my Holy Spirit. And God,
Amen.
Like David said, don't take my Holy Spirit away from me. My God, because we got to have the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is keeping us. And I love what you said about when you were on the road, you know, and God didn't allow you, listen to the Lord. You heard him. We can hear him clear as a bell when we are in tune with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you heard him. Not to go that way. Don't go to that place today. Go get that sandwich you love. I love that you said that. Go get that sandwich you love, because it lets people know that you can hear from the Holy Spirit. You can hear from him if you just
Amen.
If you just listen. So thank you so much. The word was powerful. I really enjoyed it, and you said so much. But like Apostle said, you've already preached. I'm not going to come behind you and preach, but I just want to tell you, we appreciate you. We appreciate your mother. We appreciate y'all, and that you've come now, and you are our friends now. You're our family, and we appreciate y'all very, very much. Amen. So thank God that he has restored your life. He's restored my life. But we got to stay in that. We got to stay knowing that we need God to constantly work with us. Amen. We can't just say, okay, I've been restored. I'm saved. And that's all we need. We got to continue to work out our salvation. And that's what you clearly were saying. Continue to work out your salvation by staying sober. That's working it out through the word. Amen. And God will keep us protected. So I love, love, love that you share. Many people don't. I think I said it in the other day when I was ministering. Many people don't want to share those testimonies. They don't share them because they want people to think that they always got it together. Always got it together. I didn't, you know, they act like they've never been delivered from anything. But when we can be transparent and we can come out there and knock that devil out, amen. My God, keep him on the run. That's how we keep him on the run, when we give God the praise, the honor, and know that all the glory is God by how
Amen.
We live. By how we live. That's the testimony. We live it out. We live out the word. Amen. So praise God. Thank God for you. Thank God for you and everyone on this line that's on this line today. We thank God that we were here to hear this word. I thank God I came in just a little bit late, but I just about heard the whole sermon, and it was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you, and I hope you come back soon to minister again because I truly enjoyed it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. Amen. And you, Apostle Calendar, thank God. And we are so grateful here on this end. And I know Bishop is too. Glory to God. Amen. That's all I have to say. I don't want to preach. I just came to say thank you.
Are you okay, God bless you. I love you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I enjoyed it. Amen. It was beautiful and powerful. Amen. The line is open. Please come in and encourage this young man. He's one of our family. Amen, because he's in the family of God. And isn't that beautiful that we have our family on this line? Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Stewart. Just want to say God bless each and every one of you. We just give God the glory, the honor, and the praise and all that he gives us the opportunity to do and say. I do want to encourage the man of God, Minister Jones, for those powerful, powerful words. As his mother, Prophetess Cheryl, came and said, it was a powerful, powerful, powerful word. And she used the word powerful several times. And it was a great word, a powerful word. And I can say, Minister Jones, that we all been down that dusty road. Praise God, that dusty road. But thank God for how that God was able to see for us where we couldn't see for ourselves. I want to say a big God bless you to Minister, Bishop James. And Bishop James, I'm glad to hear that him and his family have overcome that sickness, COVID-19.
Amen.
That ain't nothing nice.
That was good.
I mean, they take a lot of people out. Oh, God. But thank God we're here, even in the midst of all of this that we go through, because we're walking through all of this every day, but it's God that's keeping us. And so that was a good, good, sober word. And that's what's so good about it. I'm so glad, like Bishop James said, you know, he wasn't just an alcoholic, he was a drunk. But I can bear witness to that.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Lord,
sir.
All the glory, the honor, and the praise. I can bear witness to that. I know what he means. Praise God. And I tell you, my best friend name was Jones. His last name was Jones. I mean, that was my best friend. I'm telling you, praise God. He and I did so many different things together. He lost his life through robbing his own brother from his drugs. And, of course, when he did it and his brother caught up with him, his brother beat him with a shotgun. And after he beat him with a shotgun, he walked across the street and got hit by a car. I'm talking about my best friend, whose last name was Jones. Then he went over across the street into the project and went up three flights of steps after that and got through the window. And they found him dead the next day on the side of his bed. Evidently, he must have went to get in his bed, fell from the bed or something. But by the time I got back in the project to see what had happened and whether it was true from what I was hearing, they had a sheet over his head. I didn't even get a chance to look under the sheet to see. I just, you know, it just hurted me to my heart to know what had happened to him. Because we were good friends and we did everything together. I mean, when he used to go to work on the golf course, worked 18 holes carrying those steel golf clubs. And I could tell you, I did it too. It cut all into your shoulders if you don't have a towel on your shoulder to carry those heavy golf clubs. And sometimes we carried two golfer's bags, you know. And we would make money. The first thing you know we'd do is go get that half a man. That's what we called it, a half a G, a half a gallon of that rock gut wine. And one day he went in to take a shower, and I was over by his house. He went in to take a shower, and we had the half a gallon sitting on the table. I drank the whole half a gallon by myself, you know, like Bishop James said, you know what I'm saying? You know, we wasn't just alcoholics, we were drunks. And but yet we would go to work. We would get, you know, things done, and yet we were drunks. But, you know, I give God the glory, the honor, and the praise from, you know, the long ways he brought me. And one thing I heard you said, you know, about color, how that you could watch TV and all of these things on television, you get so upset at I never saw the commercials about how men and thing and women or whatever is kissing and all that, and you know, because I've been blind for a long time, so I haven't been able to see the commercials on television. I have saw some other things at the movies and thing that, of course, wasn't of God. Mm-hmm. When I used to be out there, and, you know, a long time ago, I'm talking about perhaps 50 years ago or so. And this wasn't like yesterday. But nevertheless, I just give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. But one thing I heard you saying about, you know, sometimes you look at movies and different things and, you know, certain things on television, what that happened with blacks and with whites. And, you know, that's happening today, you know, all of this prejudice between the QAnon. And the Ku Klux Klan, the skinheads, you know, back in the gamut with the Black Panthers and Ku Klux Klans and stuff like that. And, you know, the Muslims with Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan and stuff, things that I was caught up with over 50 years ago. And yeah, you hated the other race of people because of being snake-bitten, being poisoned, and not being sober. You know, because of being, bitten, snake bitten, and being drunk off of false religion, and that's what, you know, it really, really would cause you to be very, very angry, throw you off. Not just angry, it cause you to be mad, and some have gone mad. One young man, when Elijah Muhammad has died, and his son had took over, you know, and along with Louis Farrakhan, they both took over to a part of the Nation of Islam. Some went with Wallace Muhammad and some went with Louis Farrakhan. And one young man, he couldn't decide on which leader to follow because he said he loved each of them equally. And so he went laid on a railroad track. And the train come and just bust him open because he didn't know who he was choosing. Before he did it, he told people he was going to do it. And they were trying to tell him not to do it, and he told them, see, Allah was going to take care of him. See, Allah was going to take him because he couldn't choose between the two leaders, how much he loved both of them, and he was willing to go commit suicide, that he cut himself in half. But at the same time, it's just to show you when somebody has been bitten by that false religion and not sober.
My God.
you know, how that they could become so distorted and disturbed in their mind that they commit suicide like that. Well, I was caught up into that particular faith, into that particular religion. And it really, really caused you to really, really hate not just one white person, but all white people. And this the way I had felt. So, yeah, it's very, very, you know, dangerous to look at color and get caught up in color when the Bible says that God is a spirit and those of us that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It even says as many of us that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no bond, there's no free, there's no male, there's no female. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, so we are Christ's, meaning we belong to him, and we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're not just caught up with who is a Jew or who is a Gentile or, you know, all of that. You understand? We know that we have to worship God in spirit and in truth, glory to God. And so into that religion, you get so caught up and disturbed with that blackness until, you know, if Elijah Muhammad would have told one of us to bring a white man's head on a silver platter, you know, we'd have brought his head on a silver platter. That's how deep we was into that. Sort of like when Herodias' daughter danced for the king, and she asked for the head of John the Baptist because of the king running with his brother Philip's wife, and John had exposed that, and so John's head was given to her on a platter, just what she asked for, and this the way it was in that particular religion when you hated white folk that bad. You know, you would take it that far if you was asked to do so. Why? Because not sober, you know, into that type of thing. And so when black people was sold to white people by other black people and was brought over here on a slave ship by white people, stacked in a boat like a ship like sardines to this country, we know how they got here from Ghana, West Africa, and how that they were sold on the auction blocks and what have you, these slaves, and was given the slave owner's name, because when they would purchase somebody from the auction block, they would put their name on them. And this is why they have so many black people here in the United States with the different last names of white people, because that name showed ownership. The slave master had owned that particular slave, and so that's how, you know, a lot of the slave master children still have, you know, the white man's last name. It showed ownership. That's why it's so important that we understand this thing called repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and getting the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, that God's precious blood, Jesus' blood, God in the flesh, that's who Jesus was, God personified in the flesh. And, of course, his name came down from heaven, escorted by the angel Gabriel in the first chapter of the book of Matthew. It says that, you know, this virgin would bring forth a son, and I would call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins, you see. So this name was escorted all the way down from heaven. It doesn't matter what language it is. It's still the same name, you know, because in the Hebrew language it would be Yahshua. In the Spanish language it would be Cristo Jesus. English language, Jesus Christ. In so many other languages, you know, that name is what it is. In whatever language, on the day of Pentecost, there were people out of every nation, Jews out of every nation under heaven, that heard the gospel preached in the language wherein they were born. So you understand, mm-hmm. They knew that name to be whatever it was in their languages. They understood it. It was a gift of interpreting tongues that were there. So, you know, that's why they were able to understand the name in whatever language that they were born. Now, English wasn't spoken in that day. but the English language, you know, came out of one of the three universal languages that was spoken on that cross, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Out of Latin, you find out that so much, you know, so many languages came out of the Latin, French, so many languages. You have to study it for yourself. Out of each one of them languages, a whole lot of languages was birthed out of those three languages. It was said that an accusation was over the cross, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That was the accusation that was over the cross, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And once again, out of those three languages, so many languages was birthed out of those languages. So one would say, well, the name of Jesus Christ, you know, was not spoken in that day. But English was born out of one of those languages. And I say that to say this, at the Tower of Babel, you know, God had to come down and confound their languages because they were trying to build a temple, a tower, all the way up to heaven. And God came down and confounded their languages. And this was the beginning of nations and languages. You understand? And so the languages, you know, were created by God. See, God created all of these languages. You understand, but somebody say, well, they didn't have no J during that time when the Apostle Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They didn't have no J during that time, so the name could not have been Jesus. But again, you had languages that were birthed out of other languages. And so today we speak English, and because we speak English, the name to us is Jesus. He's the one that hung between the two thieves on the cross. We don't have no doubt about that. And so we understand that the language in, wherein we were born, just like on the day of Pentecost, those people heard those languages out of every nation wherein they were born. And so the gospel began to preach and preached in all the world, to the Jew first and then, of course, to the Gentiles. And so the Gentiles, we have that name today, that important name that Minister James was talking about. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have to come through Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Praise God. That's the language in which we were born. We understand that to be. And so when these slaves were bought off the auction blocks, they were given the master's name, you know, and that name showed ownership. Well, having the name of Jesus Christ, the slaves were purchased with salt. They were purchased with other things. You know, they were purchased with money. They were purchased with, you know, and when they bought them and put their name on them, today we were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, and his name is called over us. Name shows ownership. If you buy a house, you buy it with money. You buy it with money. That's what you buy it with. Well, Jesus purchased the church with his own blood, and he didn't purchase it with money. He purchased it with blood, and his name is called over his house, and that is our bodies, you know, his temple. Bible says, don't you know that you are the temple of God? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we're talking about the importance of the name. And so when, you know, he purchased us with his own blood, the Bible says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, and so when that great name is called over us, and you know, it shows ownership. When you buy a house, you pay for it with money. But your name, you have to be on that house. If your name is not on the deed, then somebody can come and take that house from you. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, name shows ownership. So we were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are Christ's, meaning that we belong to him. We no longer belong to ourselves. Everything we got, you know, belong to him. And so we belong to him too. So we are called by his name. So we are the children of the true and the living God. And, of course, once again,
we have the name on it, and it shows ownership. It shows who we belong to. Praise God. The Bible says that it's the family name of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth. You understand that name of Jesus is above every name, that at the name of the Lord Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and of things on earth and things under the earth, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And again, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name and did many wonderful works in thy name and cast out devils in thy name, all of these different things in his name. He's going to say, I never knew you, never had a relationship with you. You know, my nature was never on the inside of you. When we talk about the nature of the relationship, we talk about his spirit, the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the anointing of God. So the Bible makes it plain of being born of water and of spirit. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins or for the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a gift. We could receive it before or after, but you have to be born of those two elements, water and spirit, according to the word of God, or we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And the only way, and I'll be wrapping it up right here, the only way, and we have to be sober enough to see this and study and pray and fast if necessary, the only way that the holy apostles baptized after receiving the great commission, after receiving the great command, after receiving that blood covenant to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When Jesus sent those apostles out to preach that blood covenant, because this is how get that precious blood applied to your name, the only way we see that they baptized in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the actions of the apostles, showing what they preached to the lost in order for the lost to get saved, what they preached, who they preached to the lost, and what the laws had to do to get saved. In the book of Acts, we call that book of salvation. Praise God. Glory to God. Because it's telling the laws how to get saved. What the preachers of Jesus Christ preached after he left this earth and gave them the charge. Praise God. Gave them the charge and left this earth. When we see how they went into Jerusalem and filled with the Holy Ghost, the first time they baptized, glory to God, after Jesus left this earth, we see that they did it in the name of Jesus Christ. So no doubt this is the way that everyone have to be done. And even prior to that, when they baptized, because the Bible says Jesus baptized not, though they say Jesus baptized more disciples than John. You understand? But they said, the scripture said, but Jesus baptized not but his disciples. So he only baptized his disciples, and his disciples did all of the baptizing, you understand, after that. So we know, praise God, they had to know how to baptize. I mean, he spent 40 days with them even after he had died, rose from the dead. He spent 40 days with them speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. You understand? So in them 40 days, you know, he had to open up the eyes of their understanding for them to see and to know what he was telling them to go do when he said to go ye therefore and teach. See, teaching must precede this that we're talking about. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are relationships that the one God holds with his creation, with his people. He's the Father of creation. Jesus is the Son of redemption. And he's the Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of us. That's his relationship that he holds with us. Father of creation because he created us. Son of redemption because he came with a body. God personified in the flesh for his body to be broken and his blood to be shed. Glory to God. And also, praise God, he's the Holy Spirit. See, that's another relationship. It was expedient that he go away so that he can come in another way. See, if he didn't go away, the Comforter would not come. So it was expedient that he go. Why? So that he can come back in another way. It was Jesus that come back in another way. It's him right now, the Holy Ghost, that's living on the inside of us. The Bible says if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. See, and so all of this is relationships, man. And so the apostles knew this. So when they baptized in the book of Acts, they baptized in his name, not in the titles and the positions. That's why we can't find where one person, not one soul, was baptized using the words in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, that's a verse that needs to be interpreted and carried out. And that's something to be prayed about and fasted about, because many that was not able to see that. They had eyes, but they didn't see it. That is, couldn't hear it. Had a heart and really, really couldn't understand it. They still today don't understand why the apostles baptized in his name and not in the positions Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And many would say, you know, well, if, you know, the apostles went baptized in Jesus' name, but Jesus said to do it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So you know what? I'm just going to believe Jesus. I'm not going to believe what the apostles said. I'm going to believe what Jesus said. It's just that the eyes of their understanding is not open up to this, that the apostles' understanding was open up to. And this is why they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the family name. For this cause I bow my knees, and the Bible says this in Ephesians, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. We have to understand the dual nature, how that Jesus is God and man. Sometimes he speaks as man, and sometimes he speaks as the eternal God. When we understand the dual nature, because there is but one God, and God stretched forth the heavens alone and spread abroad the earth by himself. Glory to God. Another verse that we need to understand is, let us make man. We have to understand that, because that's Genesis 1 and 26. Come back in Genesis 22nd. Should I say Genesis 27, 1 and 27, it says, so God, see, one did it. See, to us, you have to understand what that us means. See, that's talking about his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding. They were with him and a part of him. You're talking about you're talking about his divine attributes, see, that makes up the one true and the living God. So it says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. His just simply means one. In his own image, in the image of God created he, God, one, he, him, Adam, see? And then it says how that he created Adam and Eve. He created them, Adam and Eve. See, that was the them, Adam and Eve. But it says he did it. And then if I'm going to say this and I'll be finished. And then in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says how that God, the Lord God, formed man from the dust of the ground. Only one did it. Formed man from the dust of the ground and blew the breath of life into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. See, the one true and living God did all of that, stretched forth the heavens alone, didn't need no help to create the sun, the moon, and all of them big old stars, planets in the sky, the heavens of heavens, and waters that's above the heavens, didn't need no help to do that. Only one did it. Praise God. Only one did it. And when he caused that deep sleep to come upon man that he created from the dust of the ground, he took one rib out of man and created a whole woman out of that one rib, brought her to that one man, and she was bone of his bones, of the many bones in his body. See, bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So we know that eliminates all of that homosexuality, that lesbianism, and all those different things, because two men can be fruitful and multiply. Two women can be fruitful and multiply. And when God created the first man, Adam, on the planet Earth, and created that woman from one of his bones, He told them to be fruitful and to multiply. So that eliminates homosexuality and lesbianism and all of that, as the Bible says in Leviticus and Romans and so many other scriptures and chapters, that that is an abomination unto God. And we're not picking at homosexuals. We're just telling the truth and praying that they turn before they burn. Praise God. That's just one of the sins that God is disgusted with. God is disgusted with all sin. Capital S-I-N. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Once again, Minister Jones, what a great and powerful word that have launched these things to come out of our mouth on today, that each and every one came forth and gave their comments and, of course, gave you these comments, or should I say commented, let me put it like that, commented of the things that you spoke on today. You spoke nothing but holiness. It was powerful, man of God. Love you and the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. Love you, too.
Thank you, man of God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Apostle. There's a lot of people on the line. The line is still open for anyone that wants to respond. If not, we'll ask Minister Jones to bring him in the fight.
I'm Minister Jones' wife, and I'm at work, and I want to say I enjoyed the word. So I'm at work, and I can't be on my phone long, but I enjoyed the word. Love the word.
Right.
Honey, I love you, and see you when y'all get home.
Bless you, baby.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Jones, that you were able to hear the word that your husband, my brother in Christ, delivered today. Let us know that we have to be aware. We have to be observant. We have to pay attention.
Yeah.
And yeah. Jesus told him in the Garden of Gethsemane, you have to watch in prayer. His observance. So he said, lest you fall into temptation. And a lot of times we get distracted, and Minister Jones said that's okay. I mean, I was just so into that. You kept hitting that thing right on it. It was like you had a big old spike nail, and you were hitting it. You were making sure you get it in the wood. You got to be sober. You got to watch. We got to be vigilant. It's so important because people, Satan does not drink coffee. He doesn't stop for lunch. He doesn't care what time dinner is. So if we are not aware of our surroundings,
man,
we're not paying attention, Satan is going to put, we call it a monkey wrench into it. He's going to try to take us out because that's what he wants to do. He don't care how much cars you got. You said it. He don't care how much house you got. You said it. He don't care if you're driving this or that, where you live, what, how much money you make. Satan's not concerned about that. All he's concerned about is to hinder you, to stop you from sharing the gospel, from telling someone about Jesus is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is the restorer. He is the comforter. He doesn't want you to share Jesus. That's what he wants, because somebody might get a chance to be saved. They might say, yes, I need this. I want that. Yes, that sounds like the right thing that I should do. He doesn't want you to share that. And if he can stifle you at any time by distracting you, showing you what he knows you like, you know I love cocaine. I can tell the truth. I love cocaine. But cocaine don't love me. You see, I can't tell you no lie. Preacher would say, well, I don't love. No, if you smoke cocaine before,
yes,
you love it.
True.
You loved it. Don't lie to yourself. But if you're saving sanctified,
amen,
you know you can't use it. You know you can't use it. You know you can't,
amen,
mess with it. There's no way you can mess with it. I can't mess with,
exactly,
it. I can go,
right,
any place where it's smoking, and it's not going to affect me.
Yeah.
I mean, I can pass,
yeah,
on the street if somebody's smoking cocaine. I can tell straight it's cocaine. I can tell it's marijuana. I can tell you what they're smoking. If they're smoking heroin, I can tell you, because people,
yeah,
smoke heroin too. They don't only shoot heroin, they're smoking too. They lace,
yeah,
it with cocaine, they're smoking.
Yes,
they lace it with marijuana,
yeah,
they're smoking. So
yeah.
And I would say, no, this is what they're smoking, but that's not for me. Why?
Yeah.
Because I know if
that's
I use,
right,
it, I'm off the races. I'm off to the races. I'm doing what the devil want me to do, you know. So I thank God for you bringing that word. That was just a right on time word, because somebody out there in computer land that is dibbing and dabbing might get the clear understanding that they got to stop, that they cannot serve two masters. They can't be in the light and in the darkness at the same time. Somebody out there in computer land, I'm telling you. And so many thousands upon thousands of people that hear this message.
Yeah,
you will not
right.
even believe. You will not even believe the thousands upon thousands of people that hear the message. I got people now in Germany, being in Germany, be sending me messages. In Australia, I got people in Amsterdam. Look, I got people all over the world. We got people in the Caribbean, in Canada. We got people that send us messages saying how they were blessed. They don't come on the line and shout, we shout us out, but they're going down low. We got people in the Philippines. Hallelujah. Glory to God. West Africa, East Africa, North Africa, and South Africa. We got people called. I just connect with some people in South Africa, Johannesburg, that from Blog Talk. I'm telling you, people just coming in and they're listening to us. That's why we need to respond every time we get a chance. Don't need to preach the message, but we need to respond and give God glory. Somebody know that we got out because God brought us out. We didn't get out because we had money. We didn't get out because we had a good job. We wouldn't get up because we come out of a possibly good family, nice family. We got up because the blood of Jesus washed us and cleansed us and delivered us, set us free from the chains of bondage. I thank you so much, Minister Jones. It was just so powerful. It was just so, I know you had a little nervousness in you, but I want to tell you this. If there's any confirmation, any comfort to you, not confirmation, if there's any comfort to you, let me tell you something. Every time I get to come up, to go up, I got nervousness in me. Every time. But the moment I take that microphone in my hand, that nervousness go. It go. The moment I take that microphone, if I go to church tomorrow, a Sunday morning, and I'm visiting the pastor says, man of God, I believe you got a word. Then I got to get up there and bring the message. I'm saying to myself, man, why did he call me? Why did she call me? But the moment I take that microphone in my hand, all the fear goes. It goes. It just goes. Because Holy Spirit takes over. I'm no longer in control. He is in control. And you talked about the Holy Spirit today, too. You have to have him. Let him lead and guide. Let him control you. He keeps you sober. When we want to deviate, he said, no, you can't drink that, son. You know, you're at the family gathering. They got corn liquor. You know, we drink. We have the peach corn liquor. You got the banana corn liquor. They got all type of corn liquor. And once the family get together, we down south, oh, they bring that stuff up. I said, no, we can't drink that stuff. We used to drink that stuff before and share with grapefruit juice. No, we can't even touch it. That didn't care if it got orange juice, pineapple juice. I don't care, apple juice, whatever it got with it, I can't touch it. Why? Because I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are different. That's why we stay focused. We are watching and we are praying. Thank you so much. Brother Deacon Fritz, I hear you in the background. If you want to come in, you can come on in before Minister Jones closes us out.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Pray the Lord. Amen. Apostle. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You are apostle. Amen. You are Melvin Jones. I pray the Lord on the word that the word was received on today. I enjoyed what I heard on today, and it really blessed me on today. And I really thank God for what I heard on today, and it really said something today on the Word of God. And
Amen.
One thing about being sober, you got to be sober for anything when it's the Word of God sober from. And man, only being on drugs, even though If you was doing adultery and fornication, most time you can be most of the time you, even though those that to be are even though I hear people hear you said about they've been doing cocaine, even though I'm not a person that do cocaine, I'm not a person, never did those type of stuff. And then heroin, they stick their stuff in their arm. They smoke that stuff. They be smoking that stuff. Yes, they do. They be smoking that stuff, and they be giving it and doing all of this the way be doing. And they doing things that really doing things that really not of God. And a lot of things I heard you say about watching TV. You see things on TV that you see some other stuff on television. I see it happening on commercials too. I see that. I see women kissing on women, men kissing on men, and that thing is just it's so ridiculous. It just always you don't want to look at that, and that way it just thing you don't want to look at those things, and you see, like you said about talk about on when you were looking on these on Facebook, and something you have to be careful what you look on Facebook. Because people, they be trying to download on the porno philosophy, and remember, even though, as you said, they had one in the store where they have videos in the store. They have these videotapes where they have the porno pornography. Yeah, they have all these movies on there, even on Facebook. See, we got to be careful what we do on these cell phones. We got to be real careful what we do when we looking on these Facebook. Because don't be careful when you're looking on Facebook, because Facebook, don't let Facebook fool you. Because some of the Facebook, it don't even play with you. It don't even play with you. And some of the things what we see on television, a lot of things ain't good you see on TV. You see folks on television getting killed, a lot of them getting shot, a lot of them lose their life, a lot of them get stabbed in the movie, a lot of them they have violence on running these movies. And some of that they be having movies where they have a profanity in these movies. And it's something you ain't want to look at right at the movie. You ain't want to go to the movies because they have too much cuss words in these movies. And they have it in these cartoons. They have it doing the same thing on the cartoons too. They have it the same way right in these cartoons. That's something, even though I don't even hardly don't look at cartoons. I don't hardly don't even look at them. What they got out now. Because I remember the time Batman used to have shows, cartoons were real clean cartoons. But now it got so ridiculous now. When you look on TV, they have cartoons where they be on there, the cussing on them. Sometimes you don't even want to look at them. But see, sometimes we got to watch what we see on TV. So a lot of times, you know, TV ain't good. It's not good, even though we got to be careful who we let children watch cartoons. Because these days, you got to be careful who you let to watch on TV. These days, we had to be careful who we let our children, young people watch TV. Because I enjoyed on today what I heard on today, and I really was blessed on the Word of God. I really enjoyed what I heard, because I thank God that even though sometimes I don't say much, but I thank God I was able to come to hear on the Word of God. So it really blesses me. It blesses all on today, everyone, because I would even know everyone would have came and encouraged someone, because we all are helpers for one another. So we're not trying to look down on nobody. I don't come look down on nobody. So I never do look down on nobody. I don't want nobody to look down on me. So like you always said, do unto the other one, do unto me. That's what the Word of God says. Do unto the other one, do unto you. That's what it says. And we can't look down on nobody, because we all are somebody. We are somebody in Christ. We are somebody. We are somebody in Christ. And even though I may not be where I'm at yet, but I thank God where I used to be. Say one thing about it. I can't speak like everybody. I might not wear the clothes like anybody can wear clothes. I might not wear no high special clothes like everybody else wear tennis shoes. But one thing, I thank God what I really wear in Christ. Because even though wearing a $14 shirt, a shirt don't cost. That's not really too high. Even a lot of shirts are so, a lot of these t-shirts be so expensive right now. But see, a shirt, what I wear, that $14 shirt I wear may look good anything than what I want to wear. Then I wear a $190 shirt. And even one thing about it. One thing about a shirt. Even though that don't impresses me. But even though God is keep me impressed, He keep me impressed all the time. He keep all of be impressed by the Word of God. See, one thing about it, I might like to speak like nobody. I might like to talk like nobody. I might like to preach no one. Speak anyone can speak. But one thing about it, we're coming around. All of us, we're coming around. We all coming around together in Christ. Because I just thank God to glad to hear everyone's voice on today. Because we all are helpers on one another. Because I thank God, we never know where we would be. Because God kept us around. He keeping us. But He put those arms around each one of us. Even though He take care of the one with the COVID. They ain't nothing but God. Because God take care of you. God take care of you. Take care of the Washington. He take care of you. Because I know ain't nothing but God. Because God, he's nothing but a healer. Because He heals. He heal all of us. Because He's a healer. Because we got to trust God. We got to trust the Lord. We got to trust the Lord of all time. We have to trust Him. We all covered by His blood. We all covered by His blood. Because none of us can't tell him thank you. Because I tell Him right now thank you for what He has done in my life. Because I don't mind giving God a praise. I don't mind praising Him. No matter what He done in my life. And one thing about it. Yes, one thing about it. I couldn't get no good understanding, but I asked the Lord to give me more standing of His word. Don't be doers of the word, but doers of His word. But even though when I first came here, when I came to block, I didn't know how to act. I didn't know how to act right. But, you know, even nothing but congregation from God. Even though I'm not the only person. I'm not the only one in the world. I'm not the only one. You got a lot of them out there. You got a lot of them out there. I'm not ready yet. None of them. But I'm not going to put myself above myself like I'm more better than somebody else because I know I'm not. Because you got a lot of them got themselves stuck on themselves. And, you know, that's not the way God cooperates. that's not of God. So we got to start putting ourselves up so high, like we bigger than God. But no matter how much we think we bigger than God, then guess what? Once you be up, and you will, and you will come down. And that's the truth. A lot of them don't believe in that. A lot of them don't believe they will be put down. In 1 minute, no matter how we think we are, he would bring us back down. Some of them don't see it like that. A lot of them don't see it. Don't even look at it like that. A lot of them don't. So that's why we got to be careful how we treat one another, how we dislike one another. We got to be careful. That's where I can say, even if you were involved in gangs, even though I had a friend of mine that was involved in gangs. Our cousin of mine, they took his life because cold guys came in his house, came in now. He was saying he finna do good. Come to find out, a couple people guys came in and they took his life. Stole on it. They took his life. He lost his life because he was involved with the wrong thing at the wrong time. See, we got to be careful. Even not only drugs can take a drug. You could be sober for anything that what you do. Even though I wasn't no alcoholic, and even though I hear some of you saying how God really delivered each one of you. From a crack house, I know enough of God, because God does deliver, can live anyone. He can live with anything what you used to do to be set free. And maybe you was out there in the world. If you were chasing women, because he can deliver you, he can deliver us all from that. He can deliver anything. We could be sober from that. We can be all sober. But I just say to you, man of God, keep on preaching the word of God. Keep on preaching the word of God. Regardless of who get mad, who get mad at you, you preach the word of God. Who get mad at you, mad at the word of God gonna stay. Who get mad? Whoever disagree on the word, if they argue with you, the word of God, you still keep on preaching the word of God. It's what word of God was in you. We just say, I just thank God, even though they're gonna have jealousy against you. You gonna wanna go backstab you in the bed, the one ain't gonna like you. Got one that, like what you said a while ago, one that jumped off, could have came encouraged on the word of God. But they didn't. I always said a lot of times, I have a ministry as well. A lot of them leave and jump on. Well, we know when you leave on the word of God, then guess what? Sometimes that's when I said this a couple of times. Sometimes we will miss our blessing, but we don't know we will miss our blessing because you ain't hurting God. You hurting yourself. You need to hurt God because God don't hurt us. God's not a person. He's not going to He won't leave and he won't forsake us. This like slapping God in the face. What you doing slapping God in the face for? He don't slap us in the face. Why would you want to slap God in the face? And, you know, that's the wrong way to be. That's the wrong thing to do, is slap God in the face. That's the wrong thing to be, do on the word of God. A lot of, and that I always say, I don't worry about who, one thing about I don't worry about pleasing nobody. I don't worry about it. Yeah, I used to. Not anymore, I don't. But I give it to the Lord. I give it to Jesus. I give it to the Lord. But I give it to Jesus. So I say to you, man of God, keep on preaching the word of God. Let the word of God let him keep and use you. He is your vessel. And let him speak to you, because you're doing the work of God. No matter what, who comes against you, who come against you, we'll always keep on preaching the word of God. That goes for each one of us. All of us are on this church line. Preach the word of God. Whoever get mad, who will leave and walk out on the word of God, keep on preaching the word of God, because the word will go forward. Whether God is what we're lacking or not. And one thing about it, you can't come and sleep on the word of God. You cannot sleep and snore on the word of God. But the word of God going to stay where we sleep on them or not. Where we lacking or not, the word going to stay. Where we get mad, where we get mad, walk out and leave. So that just being disrespectful on the word of God. It did like walk around not shaking your brothers or sisters' hand, and they reach for your hand to shake your hand, then you walk into your head away from them. But then guess what? You just make yourself you hurt your own self not shake your brother's hand and your sister's hand. You don't want him to give your sister a hug. Because if you hate her that bad, why would you put yourself in that position to, you say they love the Lord, and you come and you turn your back on your brother, on your sister? That's not of God. You heard the Lord, you heard his cry, and then you turn your back away from your brother and sister. You turn your back on God. God is not a person you turn your back on him like that. Now we know this. That's not of God. So we got to be careful how we take advantage on the word of God. We got to be careful. I also got to be careful. Keep in mind how the way we disrespect our brothers and sisters. To be disrespectful on the word of God. So I say it again. I still say, keep on preaching the word of God. Let them keep on using you. Let them keep on speak through you. And let them keep on do my words, because greater is coming. It's coming in your life. Got good work in the name of Jesus. So always remember, I love you in the name of Jesus. I love you all, and I love each one of you. And I love we all part of Block Talk family. I always remember, God loves you more and more than you will ever know. In the name of Jesus, keep me lifted up in prayer, and I keep y'all up in prayer as well. So God bless you, the one who's on the word. I enjoyed it. On today, it really blessed me. On today, even though I didn't write the scripture, yes, I know I'll be on my job on time, but I'm still here. I still come and listen at the word of God. I really enjoy when I come on this church line. I enjoyed it. I'd be excited to come on this church line. I always be excited. You know, Pastor tell you, I always be excited when I come on this church line. I'd be excited all the time. Because let me tell you something. I'd rather come and hear the word of God to be doing something else. Because the word of God really does keep me lifted up. I want to be lifted up. In the name of Jesus, I'd rather come and hear the word of God to be dealing with a lot of old junk. A lot of times you ain't got time to deal with a lot of old junk. I really keep my mind, keep you focused on the word of God. Because yeah, I know that what the enemy does and killing, stealing, destroy. But that's what he try to do. He does with me. He does that to all of us. That's what the book of John say. He kill and steal in the straw. But he can't steal my joy. You cannot steal my joy now. Can't steal my joy because I'm not going to let you steal my joy. I tell that right now. You can't steal my joy. I always say you might laugh at me behind my back. But the more you laugh, I'm going to praise the Lord, whether you like me or not. I'm going to keep praising. I'm going to keep on praying the Lord. I'm going to keep on my mouth praying to the Lord. That's who I look up. I look up to Jesus. That's right. I look up to the word of God. I don't look at nobody, nothing like the word of God. That's right. I just think the word of God, what I heard on today, may God continue to bless on the word. I really enjoyed what I heard today. And it really, really blessed me on today. So may God continue to bless you all. And may God continue to bless you. Thank you, man of God. God continue to bless you. Keep preaching on the word of God. Because you will get your blessing someday in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. And I'm done. God bless you all. I love you all in the name of Jesus. And remember, God loves you more than you ever know. Amen. I'm through right now. I'm gone. Amen.
God bless you, Deacon. Love you, man. Love everyone. Apostles, prophets. I love all y'all. Thank you for an encouragement. I thank God for y'all. And I was trying to say what he was saying. I was, the Bible says, follow peace with all men, holiness without. No man shall see the Father. So you got to love everybody in spite of them. God going to have the last say. So just remember to be sober. You have anything you have to say, Apostle Counter?
No, I'm fine, Mr. Jones. Thanks for Deacon Fraser coming and putting his couple of pennies, a dollar and a half.
Yes, sir.
But we thank God for that. So go ahead and pray us out. And the Lord bless you. Thank you for the word that the Lord has given to you. And if I have any encouragement for you, it's to tell you keep doing what you've been doing, okay? Allow the Lord to
use
you. And he'll give you even more. The more you seek him, the more you will find him. Okay, so go ahead and pray and close us out. And don't forget the Washingtons are on tomorrow. Let's come on and support
them.
And then
Amen.
The prophetess, she'll come in on Friday. Let's come on and support her too. That's what we do. As we say all the time, we are family. And the family of God
is
on each other. Okay?
Yeah,
all right, God bless
you.
Go ahead and pray us out. Go ahead and pray,
sir.
Thank you, Brother Deacon.
I love each and every one of y'all. Thank Apostle for allowing us to come on here to spread the gospel. I love y'all each and every one. I enjoy every word, every encouragement. I enjoy every word. I pray that every word that we all have said through the word of God. The Bible said, no man should live by bread alone, or by every word that we see out of my mouth. Let us pray that something we said today will touch your heart. Just get saved and receive the Holy Spirit, that your name will be written in the Lamb Book of Life. Father, we thank you for your word today on the word of being sober, Lord. We thank you for your power, your strength, Lord. God, I couldn't preach unless you allow me to preach, God. It's your word and your spirit to give us, Lord, to quicken us, Lord, and sharpen us, Lord, that we'll be sober and be able to be vigilant. God, you said that our adversary is the world line, sick of who we made the vow. So, Lord, we pray today, Lord, we keep continue high. We're in our heart that we want to sin against you. Lord, help us to be sober, Lord, that we'll watch and well as pray, God, that we'll be able to see the thing that's before us and see and hear your voice, God. You tell us to go left, go left. You tell us to go right, go right. You tell us not to go certain place, Lord. Help us to be able to hear your voice in the name of Jesus, God. Help us, God, Lord, to do on call to your word. Lord, you said we love you, keep your commandment. Your commandment is your word, Lord, the word that you have put in our heart, the place of our heart. God, we thank you today, Lord. Bless each and every one of those, or one of our leaders today, apostles, bishops, apostles, ministers, evangelists, Lord, and every saint and man and woman of God that's on this line. Bless them today. Bless their children in the name of Jesus, God. Cover them with your blood to go out and about, Lord. Keep them, Lord. Keep their family. Keep their leaders in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be prepared, God, for what's coming, Lord. Bless our finances. Bless our, God, cancel all our debt, God. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to the kingdom in the name of Jesus, God. We'll forever bless your name. Your name, Lord. Those that came to salvation today through the bishop, Lord, are bringing salvation and repentance, Lord. Yes, you, Lord, they continue to go on and know you and work out their soul salvation with fear and trembling, Lord. Lord, they'll be saved and filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help them, Lord, to get to know you in a better way, God. Help them, God, to seek after you, Lord, with all their heart in the name of Jesus, Lord. Continue blessing this radio broadcast and all those families across seas, Africa, Asia, and different countries, Lord. Bless them in the name of Jesus, God. You know what they need before we ask, God. So we ask you to continue blessing them across the world, Lord, other countries, Lord, that desire to grow close to you, Lord. Help them to see your hand, Lord, in this radio broadcast. Continue blessing us. God, cover us with your blood. Keep us, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord. Let your spirit and your anointing rest upon us, Lord, to do your will. Lord, you said in your word that the steps of a good man are ordered by you. Order our steps, Lord, in your word. Cover us with your blood. Continue to anoint us and pour your anointing out in us to do your will. Let your will be done in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. God will bless you. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Minister Bell.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much. And thank you all for praying for us. You all have a wonderful blessing. Okay, we can close now. The prayer has been done. The closing prayer has been done. So we can close now. Everyone have a wonderful, blessed evening. Glory be to God. And may we all see you at the same time on tomorrow morning to hear another powerful word from God. Amen. We're out.